about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, take in the vibe of the room and remain open of mind and of spirit. Now, quietly, sit behind me and let's join breath.
I'll stand.
Interesting technique.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Across town, residents are now picking up the pieces as well. Large hailstones destroyed mobile homes, busted out windows, and car tail lights.
Man, them jokers was big, size of a quarter doggone.
Many said it sounded like nothing they've ever heard before.
He said, kapooya, kapooya. And your boy, that hail just came in. I looked at my... opened my door and I looked out my door and started hitting me in my head. I took out running, ran to my restroom, and then I called my mama to see what she all right.
And now.
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
Our feature presentation.
I wish I was black.
That's impressive.
Who's with me?
All right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 534. It's an all-new show for a Monday morning.
It's funny you should bring that up, by the way. I was listening to KNX this morning, like I do from time to time online, and they, on their website, have photographs of all of their people that put the show together. Program department, the people who are the reporters in the field, all of the anchors. It is 99.9% white guys.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, they don't have one black guy that can work at KNX? Not one? They can't find a spot for one black guy to be on the air there?
Maybe they should take those pictures down.
There was one Asian chick, God love her, but other than that, everyone else was a white dude.
Here we go! It's on! Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war, come on! Race war!
What I'm saying is if you get your wish and you suddenly do become black... as you hope, Kevin. Maybe you should go over and work at KNX, is what I'm saying. I think they could probably use you.
It's an opening.
Exactly, right.
And I don't have to be able to speak, which is good.
No, that's not that kind of job.
Exactly. Well, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, another week. It is Monday morning. I have fallen very deeply in love with Jorge Bergoglio. I don't know about you guys, but this new pope is just, he's so fun. You've been following any of the news of the new pope?
I don't.
Not over the weekend.
I don't find any pope in the category of fun.
I love this pope so much. Now, look, we could argue all day about religion, but that's a personal taste. I mean, there are people who want it and people who don't, and there's equal evidence that God exists to that he doesn't exist. So it's a matter of faith. So if you buy in, more power to you. God love you. But this pope is fascinating to me because every couple of days there's something else that makes him different from other popes that I've seen in my lifetime. You know, we talked a little bit, Kevin, about when he first got elected, about how he's the guy who likes to, you know, ride the bus, for instance.
Right.
Which you don't, you know, usually if you're the pope, you get to take advantage of tremendous comfort.
But he doesn't ride the bus anymore.
He doesn't ride the bus anymore, but he's out with the people all the time. Hmm. He's kissing everybody. He's out in the streets. He's driving his security crazy. He won't ride in the Pope Mobile with the glass and everything like he's supposed to. I mean, he really is just begging to get shot.
He's a crazy man, Pope.
He is a crazy man. He's not wearing the red shoes. He's wearing some simple black shoes instead of the fancy traditional red shoes. He's just wearing a simple white outfit. He won't wear the fancy, you know, the fur coats and all the stuff that the previous popes have worn.
He's ruining it for everybody in the future.
He doesn't wear the pimp jacket?
He doesn't wear the pimp jacket, right? He is having a mass this week at a juvenile detention facility. He has prayer services every day that he invites everybody, you know, in the residence or the hotels, wherever he is, including the cleaning staff and the busboys and everybody to pray with him. I mean, he's just one of those guys who's super with the people and he's all about the poor, right? Mm-hmm. But here's my favorite story from the Pope that came out over the weekend. You remember when he was elected Pope, he insisted on going down to the lobby of the hotel where he had checked in as a cardinal and paying the bill. Now that he was elected Pope, he's like, yeah, I got to close out my bill because I checked in here as a cardinal. That was one thing that he did.
I don't remember that, but go ahead.
Here's the new thing that he did. Over the weekend, he called the guy back in Buenos Aires who used to deliver his newspaper every day to cancel his subscription.
Aww. He's awesome.
He doesn't have more pressing concerns. Maybe he doesn't understand he's the Pope.
Right. Hi, Daniel. The phone rings in Argentina. His paper boy picks up. Hi, Daniel. It's Cardinal Jorge, which I guess is how he was known all the time he was in. He used to get his paper delivered every single day by this paper guy, right? So he calls and cancels. The guy answers the phone, thinks somebody's playing a prank on him. Seriously, it's Jorge Bergoglio. I'm calling you from Rome. The man told the press, I was in shock. I broke down in tears. I didn't know what to say. He thanked me for delivering his paper all this time and sent his wishes to my family.
Then the guy had to go in and face his bosses and say he lost another subscription.
He also told a story, by the way, and I think this is awesome, that the paper boy would deliver the paper to the cardinal's residence. And then once a month, the cardinal would come by and return all of the rubber bands that had wrapped to the newspaper that he had thrown in the yard.
Something wrong with this guy.
So he could reuse them.
So yes. They could reuse the rubber bands.
They chose the wrong guy.
There's something wrong with this guy.
He's not going to enjoy this the way he's supposed to.
He's not living it up. It's not hookers and blow like it would be if I were Pope. That's for sure.
You know what's interesting to me is, and I thought about this when he got elected, is he doesn't get to go home and pack up. You know how you...
Yes, sure.
Normally you think you don't show up there.
No, you have Catholic slaves. They go do it for you.
Everything you own.
No, I thought the same thing.
You're never going home again.
Hmm. Yeah, like, you go if you go to another city, or in his case, another country for a job interview, most cases, if you get the job, you get the opportunity to go back home and pack and bring your stuff. He may never go back to his apartment again.
Yeah, that's kind of unbelievable. And say your goodbyes and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, it's very strange, but I just, for him as a man, forget the office of the Pope and the Catholic Church and everything, just as a man, I just find him fascinating. He's unlike anyone that I've seen, certainly in that position that we've heard about.
I have to be honest, I have not spent that much time following the Pope.
But now that you know that he returns the rubber bands from his home newspaper delivery, come on, now you're interested, right?
If he was out doing shots, now I'm in, but returning rubber bands is not a party.
Thanks a lot to impress Kevin.
I'm just saying, returning rubber bands, seriously.
That's my point, though.
That's my point.
My point is seriously, like, who does that? This guy is different. That's all.
All right. Does he touch boys? Is he in favor of that? That's all I care about from the Pope, is that he's down on that.
We don't think so.
There's no evidence.
As long as he's down on that, I'm good. Not so much the rubber bands. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
I was reluctant to accept Kevin at first, too, but it's just so sweet. The world is brand new to him. He approaches everything with the wonderment of a small child or cartoon alien.
Stupid community. Having to do a show all about Kevin.
Yeah.
Bean, why don't you tell us what's on today's show? I was not part of this planning, and I don't understand some of it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
What are you puzzled by? What do you need to know?
Celebrity taxidermy. What the F is that?
Because Ralph is not a fan of Batman anymore. That's why.
Because he doesn't want Batman stuffed?
Yes.
Well, that's normal. Ralph is normal.
We had a discussion.
He is a fan.
At the end of Friday's show about how Ralph's running out of room for his Batman memorabilia, and I suggested that when Adam West, God love him, when he dies, that maybe Adam needs to be stuffed and put in Ralph's museum. How awesome that would be. Talk about the ultimate Batman artifact would be to have Batman himself. And Ralph thought that was creepy. And I can't.
That is creepy.
To which I reply, he's no fan of Adam West then if he doesn't want his taxidermied corpse living in his house for eternity. So we'll discuss that coming up this morning in the 7 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. Also, Seamus Dever is going to be joining us. He's on Castle, don't you know? He plays a guy named Kevin who's pretty smart.
All right.
By the way,
now we're getting somewhere.
So, Castle, a big episode tonight with his character going undercover with a mob or something like that. It sounds like it could be pretty cool. Kevin Williamson is the creator of The Following. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour today.
Awesome. That show is awesome.
People do like that show. Our friend Chris Hardwick on talking about the next to last episode of this season of The Walking Dead last night and how Dave the King of Mexico got his girlfriend on The Talking Dead. We'll be talking about that with Chris later on today. We've got Harvey Levin because it's Monday. We'll talk to him about what's happening over at TMZ.com, give you your chance to win Coachella tickets next hour. And we've got a guy on named Adi Jaffe. He runs an alternative addiction treatment center. This, kids, is a rehab that lets you drink.
Yay!
Hey, I could get on board with that rehab.
That's now, good news.
One reason why a lot of people aren't into rehab is because they don't let you drink.
It is pretty strict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this guy's going a completely different direction.
He's like the new Pope.
He's just like the new Pope. So all of that, plus Ralph's got the showbiz beat, is next here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. For all of the talk about the number 15 seed Florida Gulf Coast University in the NCAA tournament over the weekend. How about the number 13 seed, LaSalle, which is still in the tournament, Ralph Garman, after three wins to playing already.
LaSalle!
How about that?
You're not excited about that, are you?
That's Ralph's team.
LaSalle's your team?
That's my alma mater.
I did not know that.
I went to LaSalle University.
Who knew?
Everyone else, apparently.
Not me.
LaSalle!
Go Gophers!
Go Explorers!
Explorers!
Go Explorers, indeed. Explorers. So, Ralph, tell me about you watching them on Friday night.
Well, Friday afternoon, first of all, is when the game was.
Okay, and I was Ole Miss, right?
I was watching in my dentist chair on my phone.
On your phone?
Yeah. They had a 20-point lead, 18-point lead in the first half by halftime. Second half, this is the Friday game. Boise State comes back almost all the way to the end. So Friday, I'm in the chair, on the dentist chair, with my phone in front of me. He's like trying to
I bet he loved that.
Clean my teeth. Like, give me a second to play. And then last night, of course, against Ole Miss was just heart-stopping. Went right down to the final basket, and the Explorers pulled it out. So they're in the Sweet 16 now.
The Explorers are
from
in the Sweet
16. A-10 conference. Are you familiar with the A-10
I've
conference?
I've never heard of it.
Of course you haven't. No one has. And now look.
It doesn't exist.
Now look at this in the Sweet 16. Could not be more excited. And the my friends here in Southern California, there's a couple alum. So they get
about
that.
Can't use the F word. New regulations
a,
came
and
in
B,
over
there was
the weekend.
There was no yes or no at the end of that.
So that was supposed to be yes. Of course I'm going.
Right. So they're playing the Shockers,
play
right?
Staples Center. Playing the Shockers?
Aren't they playing Wichita State?
No.
I don't know who's Wichita State.
Wichita State, the team that knocked my Gonzaga out over the weekend. Yeah, playing the Shockers.
How many years did you go to Gonzaga?
I just visited the Bing Crosby Museum on campus once.
Oh,
but
well, that's hardly your Gonzaga then.
Well, that's the team I was rooting for in the tournament.
The Bing Crosby
You know how to live.
Museum. Yeah.
I could go to school there for 4 years and I wouldn't go to the Bing Crosby Museum.
He's a famous alum.
Who cares?
Anyway, it's very, very exciting, Ralph, and I want you to know that I was pulling for LaSalle, and now I want LaSalle versus the Eagles in the championship game, the FGCU. Now I want to see those two teams going against each other for the championship. Would that be the best? A number 15 seed versus a number 13 seed for the championship?
That'd be the best.
Wouldn't be good for CBS, probably. But
no, they probably wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, by that point, though, they would have attracted so many fans, you know, just because of the sensation of the fact that they keep winning and beating these great clubs. So,
do they all thank you after the game, Ralph? Do they all say, we'd like to thank our great alum?
Yeah, sure. They give me the, yeah, sure. Tyreek.
Who's the most
and
famous
Tyrone,
alum out of LaSalle? Is that where Bill Cosby went?
Ralph?
No. Cosby went to Temple.
Okay.
We don't really have any famous Stallions. I guess the most famous one would be Peter Boyle.
Huh.
Who played Ray's dad on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a former LaSallian.
And then you.
And then me.
Second place.
Congratulations. My friend Pete Boyle. It's not too shabby. Anyway, yeah, we're very excited. And Thursday, I get to watch him here in Los Angeles.
Now, that is very cool.
Of course, that's depending on if I can get tickets. I don't know how this all works. Is that popular, the NCAA tournament?
No.
Is that a popular thing?
No, you
do people like
right
to go
front.
To that?
Mm-mm.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay, good.
Probably
good
sit right up front.
Speaking of sports... Sorry news for everyone who's fans of sexy sports reporter Erin Andrews. She is now officially off the market. Jarrett Stoll from your Los Angeles Kings.
I love Jarrett Stoll.
He's together with the lovely Erin Andrews and says things are great. The only problem is Erin doesn't know much about hockey.
Oh,
yeah.
She'll learn.
And she knows a lot more about baseball and football and stuff than Jared does, so you know, it's a battle for the remote, I guess, when they're watching sports.
What happened there?
Look, as long as she doesn't love soccer, everything's good. Everything else can be managed.
Well, you said sports, Ralph.
That's true. Here's a celebrity split. I didn't even know they were a couple. Malcolm Jamal Warner, remember him from the Cosby Show? Theo.
Mm-hmm. He's the older kid.
Yeah,
the boy. Yeah,
Theo.
Yeah.
He and Regina King from Southland were an item for 2 years. They were living together.
Huh. No way.
I had no idea. He apparently asked her and her son to leave their house after 2 years, and they are both broken up about it. Bad breakup. Doesn't say here they're going to be friends forever or any of that stuff.
Oh, really?
This must be a real breakup.
Now that Regina King's mom has died, she's got that baby to take care of by herself, though. I think Malcolm Jamal Warner will probably be coming around a lot more, right?
That is a TV show. Just storyline on South. That's all that is. And actress Tilda Swinton, Kevin's favorite, Tilda Swinton.
Oh, he does good work.
It's a she.
She is good.
An actress. She is currently performing a piece of performance art at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
Now, Kevin, have you heard about this yet?
No.
It's called, okay. It's called The Maybe.
Is it called Ugly Man?
No, it's called The Maybe.
I want to see Kevin's face. Someone take a picture of Kevin's face when Ralph describes what this art installation is about.
And she is there sporadically at the Museum of Modern Art, sleeping inside a glass box.
Yeah!
That's it? Yes. That's not art.
Yes, she has got the only thing she has in there is some cushions and a jug of water. And she performs sporadically. They won't give you a schedule when she's going to be there. You just have to go to the museum, and if you're lucky, you will see Tilda Swinton inside a box.
What the hell?
That's it. People just walk around, and she's just sleeping in a
box. That's not art. Everyone sleeps.
You don't understand art, man. You don't get it.
That's
you weren't
bullshit.
There. You don't get it. You weren't there.
No, and I won't be. Is there anybody else who's more actively ugly?
Stop it.
I mean, trying to be unattractive.
I don't think she's ugly. I don't think Tilda Swinton is ugly.
I don't. And talented.
And she's a great actress.
You are a liar,
actress.
Sir.
No, I don't think she's ugly. I think she's average looking.
Wow.
What do you think, Ralph?
I think she could be striking sometimes. In fact, I would go further than average. I think sometimes she's, she goes out of her way to not wear makeup, and she cuts her hair really closely and spiky, and she's got a bohemian attitude as she dresses sometimes oddly. But when she's made up, when they give her a wig and
it's
they slap
lipstick
her
on a
clothes,
pig, my
no,
friend.
No, she can really be striking.
Lipstick
like
on a pig.
Like a supermodel kind of thing. She's got
supermodel?
Yeah, she's got
What is wrong with you?
She's got that ultra-thin catwalk model look to her that when they make
without
her
the beauty, though.
Severely, she can be very striking.
Striking is not beautiful. It's a different description.
It's like,
but
oh,
I mean,
man, is that ugly.
No,
like that?
No, it's just like interesting and it's interesting.
Yes.
More than anything.
And I'm not, and again, Kevin, I didn't claim she was beautiful. I just said she's not ugly at all. She's really not. And I agree with Ralph. There are times she looks really good.
She ugly. She ugly. U-G-L-Y. She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
And remember the guy who tried to kill Justin Bieber from behind bars?
Sort of.
You know, remember this guy? Dana Martin was his name. He's got the Bieber tattoo, and he hired those two guys on the outside to kidnap and castrate and murder Justin Bieber and his manager.
Right.
Well, he claims...
Is he out?
It's not over. Oh. No. He's inside for like two life terms.
Oh, okay.
But he said, it's still game on regarding trying to murder Justin Bieber.
Okay.
This isn't going away, he said.
Okay.
What's it? Refresh my memory. What's his beef with Bieber? Why does he want to kill
him? Well, that's what they said. And he answered, it's because he changed, and that made me angry. He's a phony now.
Now?
Says Martin of Bieber's hip-hop slang and Vanilla Ice style. But he said he will give up this plan to murder Justin Bieber and his manager if Bieber will just have a sit-down with him there at prison. Just come on in. Let's just have a conversation.
It's reasonable.
He wants to try to talk some sense into him.
That's reasonable.
Or he'll murder him. One or the other. Those are your options, Bieber.
Why have you left your roots, Justin?
I've written to the district attorney saying I'll plead guilty. I'll even testify against my two partners. I just want to have a sit-down with Justin Bieber, and they won't do it. To them, that's bizarre. I'll tell you, those people are ridiculous. Those prosecutors, they're crazy.
That's the jail's version of Bean.
and they think it's odd that I want to stuff Justin Bieber and put him in my collection. Talk about that later. Your head's going to explode when you hear the conversation we had last week.
I'm going to have the best people collection anywhere.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, what a batch. Maybe the most star-studded batch ever.
Wow.
Elton John, 66 years old today. Sarah Jessica Parker is 48. Vladimir Klitschko is 37. Catherine McPhee is 29 years old today. Danica Patrick is 31. And, of course, Lark Voorhees celebrates her 39th.
Lark does good work.
39th birthday. She was on Saved by the Bell.
She sure was.
Lisa Turtle.
Well, that's who that is?
Yes.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as...
It's Coachella time, ladies and gentlemen. All this week here at K-Rock, we're giving you chances to win a pair of three-day passes for weekend number one, which is sold out. Limited tickets available still for weekend number two, by the way. Plus, once again this year, we're having the K-Rock Party House at Coachella with exclusive live performances from all sorts of artists stopping by. I believe your first chance to win for the week comes up this hour, I want to say?
This hour.
Yeah, this hour. We'll give you a chance to win your Coachella tickets. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air for you, like we do, at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail 24 hours a day. You call, leave us a message. We play it back on the radio. Here's a song for our friend Ralph Garman to get us started today.
Well done.
He even lost interest in his own theme song by the end. He doesn't identify himself, but this sounds like it might be a visit from the Armenian comedian on the Afro line.
He's the only one still playing the recorder.
It's got to be Sam, right?
Or a second grader.
Speaking of Sam, somehow when I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, the terrible and wrong decision was made to invite the Armenian comedian to open April Foolishness in a couple of weeks.
Pete, I got
to
tell you, he was not at all excited. I was really shocked.
I thought your show business was his life.
Yep, and I said, you're opening the show in front of 6,000 people. He's like, okay.
I don't understand
that. I don't either.
That's
weird.
Well, this listener has, I think, an idea for what to do with Sam that night.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, longtime fan him. Remember that time Psycho Mike had Sam smoke salvia? Yeah, I'm wondering, maybe Sam should do that before April Foolishness, you know, help with creativity.
How can you tell whether Sam's on drugs or not? He doesn't make any sense anytime.
I think it's safe to say he's always baked.
Right.
Yeah,
at
right,
the
exactly.
very least.
Here's a great idea from yet another listener about a new feature.
Walking Dead, and then Chris Hardwick has The Talking Dead, where they talk about The Walking Dead. Then he comes on your show and talks about The Talking Dead, which is talking about The Walking Dead. So I'd like to start a new segment on the Afro line where I talk about you guys talking to Chris Hardwick talking about The Talking Dead, which is talking about The Walking Dead.
I like it.
I like it. I think that's a great idea. Last week, Kevin, we were talking about how we're into prom season now, which means that all these people are inviting their celebrities, their favorite
sure.
celebrities. For instance, there was a video a couple days ago about a girl who desperately wants to go to her prom with Bruno Mars, so she made a little tape, and I think it's on Ellen. And then, of course, the famous guy Southern California guy last week who's trying to get Kate Upton to go to his prom. Well, I think this listener is jumping on the bandwagon.
Hi, Lisa. I want to know if you want to go to prom with me. We both have commonalities. You like fine dining. I like fine dining. You cause erections. I have erections. Mm. We both think beer mug is a douche. Please go with me.
That's about right.
You do have a lot in common.
Yeah, we do.
Sure. Here's a listener who I think loves all the bits that we do that end in vomiting.
And yet another bit that finishes with somebody puking. I got only one thing to say about that.
Delivery.
Doctor Who returns this weekend. Last week, one of our special guests was Jenna Louise Coleman. She plays the new companion on the Doctor Who show. And you've never seen Ralph Garman geek out over a guest in your life, Kevin, than you did for a Doctor Who guest. And I think that's what this caller is talking about.
Yeah. Can you guys do us a favor and warn us before Ralph brings any more of those Doctor Who actors or actresses to do an interview? Freaking nerds. Yeah, especially that part where you're talking about how her character died three times. I died three times in that interview, dick!
This one's just good sense.
Fire beer mug. For crap's sake, fire him now.
No kidding. No kidding. Here's an even better idea.
Beer mug, he has problems too. He's not like you because he's fat. The world needs to open their eyes and realize that beer mug's fat, 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 fat. Fire beer mug.
Well done. Here's one for you, Kevin.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really?
What?
Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really? Really?
Still?
He didn't?
That's going to be on Kevin's tube, so no one will ever forget that. And finally, here's a Kevin and Bean listener calling the Afro line, and you can too at 323-520-AFRO. Bringing up one of our all-time favorite people.
Remember your name, sir? Victor Fuentes, 1612-1. Hello? Hello?
Oh, I love that guy.
I miss Victor Fuentes. Can we hear some Victor Fuentes, please? Man, too much information and
Yes, you can. Victor Fuentes, one of our all-time favorite 911 calls.
Fire department operator 75, what's the address, please?
1612-1. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
1612-1 Harris.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Horse.
What happened to you?
Well, I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut. And
you fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Stairs and like. Yeah, too much information and man.
Mm-hmm. You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good. What's your name so we know who we're looking
Victor for? Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor. We'll be there in just a moment.
All right, that's it.
Bye-bye.
I love that guy so much. We will take a break and come back with Harvey Levin from TMZ.
I always look forward to Monday mornings talking to our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, is it true you went to the University of California at Santa Barbara? Is that where you went to undergrad?
Yeah, I did. Why are you asking me that?
Because I am just trying to keep track of who's got schools in the NCAA tournament. None of us do. It sounds like you don't either.
That's a truth statement.
Well, welcome. Always great to have you on. I can't believe the stories that you're putting up about Lindsay Lohan, and I partly can't believe it because I don't see how this is going to be resolved. Tell folks what's going on with the controversy about the sentencing she got last week.
Well, you know, she got 90 days of lockdown rehab, and when it was negotiated, we know that that her lawyer, Mark Heller, told prosecutors, look, I can get her into this lockdown rehab facility where she can't get out for 90 days. And they said, okay. And so we did some research, a lot of it. Ain't no such thing in New York. There's one place, which is part of the correctional, really the correctional program, where they do keep you against your will, but it's really part of the jail. It's more of a prison-type setting, and you have to be a felon, a prior felon, in order to even qualify. She's not, shockingly. She doesn't have a felony on her record, so she can't go there. She can't go in California. We talked to Dr. Drew. He said, look, you can't go anywhere. There's no such thing. You can't hold somebody against their will. So the problem is that, you know, they could tell her don't go, but Lindsay's been in rehab twice before where she's made it a revolving door and she's gone out, she's partied. So I don't know that that's going to cut it for prosecutors. We know they're reevaluating this right now. They didn't know this. And, you know, her sentence is really 90 days in jail. And they said, look, you can serve it doing rehab, but this lockdown rehab, but if it's not available, you know, theoretically, they could say, well, if you can't do lockdown rehab, we're going to send you to jail.
Harvey, why did you look into it and the prosecution didn't? Why did the prosecution just go, okay? Why didn't they look into it and say where?
I have to tell you something. Everybody seemed to think it existed.
Right.
And but not just them. I mean, it's funny because we started talking to, you know, some very prominent criminal defense lawyers. And then one of them said to me, I've been trying to get my clients into a lockdown rehab facility in New York forever and can't find one. So we started looking, and then all of a sudden this thing kind of unraveled. But it's interesting. This was a phantom sentence.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem to know.
So if that doesn't exist, if rehab lockdown does not exist, the only option then is 90 days in jail, right?
Well, unless they give her regular rehab. But I got to tell you, I don't know if you guys remember when she was at Betty Ford. Do you remember when that woman, Dawn Holland, got in a fight with her because Lindsay supposedly was scaling the wall
after
a party?
Yeah.
And then before that, she was at Cirque Lodge in Utah. And she was going in and out of there. She was partying in the city. So I don't know, guys. I mean,
well, what's the plan? Are they supposed to go back to court and say they're talking? All right, talk about this aspect of the story because I think this is hilarious.
Oh, can I just one other thing?
Yes,
she's drinking still.
That was where I was going. Yeah, I said talk about this aspect of the story. So they sentence her to rehab basically to keep her out of jail. How long does it take from that word from the judge before she's throwing him back, Harvey?
2 days.
2 days before she was caught drinking.
Yeah, I was just going to say that too. Probably a couple hours, but yeah, we found out 2 days later she was hitting the bottle again.
One last question about her, and that is 90 days in jail equals what for real?
Well, I mean, you know, we saw what happened last week with Bobby Brown with a 55-day sentence where he ended up, you know, serving, you know, 9 hours.
Right.
Which was absurd. So I'm not going to say anymore because every time we're told something, it turns out it's a revolving door.
So we don't know.
It's turning into a joke.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the overcrowding is so ridiculous, it's just turning into a joke.
Yeah.
No, they should let everyone out with weed offenses and then move on. We'd have plenty of space.
That's true.
You know what? That's there are a lot of people, myself included, who agree with that. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. All right.
And you know what? As long as I just want to jump on the soapbox for 1 second on this. Alcohol does so much more damage in this country than weed. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen.
And the idea that we'd criminalize that and spend all this time in the criminal justice system over marijuana when alcohol is legal and glamorized and ruins millions of lives is absurd.
But it's tasty. Let's not forget that. It is tasty.
And think about this. These people who want to come down on those who smoke pot, that's why Lindsay Lohan is rocking around free right now, okay?
That's
because
right.
There's no room for her in jail.
That's
all right. Let's turn our attention to a name that I had never heard before a few days ago, and now it's everywhere, including at TMZ.com. We're on the phone with Harvey Levin right now. Fallon Fox. Why should we know that name, Harvey?
Well, Fallon Fox is an MMA fighter who was born a male and went through gender reassignment surgery, is now a female, and Fallon Fox is an MMA fighter now, fighting women, and because she is a woman. But she isn't a woman in the eyes of some people in the MMA who say it's absurd because even though she's legally a woman now, when she grew up, she was a man. She has the bone structure of a man. There are certain things you can't undo.
Right.
And you know, Joe Rogan was just going off on this saying this is absurd.
I agree. Dana White's against it too, right?
Dana White seems to be against it
as well.
You don't have the right
in this country to fight in whatever group you want. That's not a right.
I agree too. I mean, you know, they make all sorts of rules in the MMA. I mean, they'll say that, you know, somebody 240 pounds can't fight somebody 160 pounds.
Right.
So they make all sorts of rules. And even though Fallon Fox is legally a woman, I got to say, this bone structure argument and everything else that when you grow up, how do you undo all of that? I don't think you can.
And muscles, too, I would imagine, right?
Well, you know, and they say that they give them hormones and whatnot, but, you know, how far does that go? I mean,
right.
There's still a development that doesn't get reversed.
And it is, and we should point out, by the way, she is an MMA fighter, but she is not fighting in the UFC, nor will she if Dana White has his way, because, as you say, he's against this. But
well,
you know what was fascinating?
And I talked to Dana White, and he told me, aside from that, the two fights that Fallon Fox had, they were women who never won a fight before. So Dana said that, you know, everything else aside, we're not going to admit her because she hasn't really shown her, she hasn't proven
right.
her stripes yet.
The one final thing I'll say before we let you go to your meeting, Harvey, is this, and I thought this was a fascinating aspect of the story, is that the blasting that Joe Rogan got for his comments that she should not be allowed to fight women. I mean, you would have thought that he was out there, you know, killing gay people the way he was, the way people blasted him for his comments. I thought it was insane.
I thought it was insane, too. I mean, I got to tell you, Joe Rogan, there's this political correctness is killing us.
Yep, absolutely.
It's killing us. And, you know, and look, I mean, how can you say that Joe Rogan is homophobic, that Joe Rogan is anti-anything when he's talking about, I mean, if you want to argue with Joe Rogan, argue the merits of this. He's talking about bone structure and whatnot. I mean, he used a couple of words that were a little colorful, but it doesn't matter. I mean, he's making a point. And I don't know. I just think that, you know, you got to know when to hold him. You got to know when to fold him. And I think that this is not the argument where you start saying somebody's homophobic. It's ridiculous.
We have been talking to Kenny Rogers from TMZ.com this morning here on the Kevin Reed Show. Thank you, Harvey. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Coachella, as we mentioned, is happening. Weekend number one tickets all this week. Kevin, we have a very special way we're giving away the tickets today. You want to tell the kids to call?
Our friend Pat O'Brien is here, and he knows every band. Doesn't just know about them. He actually knows them.
Yes.
So give us a call on any band that's playing Coachella. Any band that's playing any one of the 3 days, if you have a trivia question about a band, you can ask Pat. If you can stump him, you go into the drawing for 3 day passes.
That's a lot of bands. A lot of bands. I mean, I can't believe Pat would be friends with everybody, but there's no famous person Pat doesn't know.
That's
so
correct.
I guess he's the backstop. If you can stump Pat with Coachella band trivia, you can call right now and maybe win yourself some tickets for a 3 day pass for weekend number one. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next on K.
You're listening to Prime Time here with Pat O'Brien and Steve Hartman.
It's not. Nope. It's the Kevin
and Pat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Talking about all sports all the time here.
Actually,
how about
Pat
that
O'Brien.
NCAA, huh? You know, my bracket is still perfect.
You don't have a perfect bracket.
No one does.
It's perfect. And
nobody does.
You picked Florida Gulf Coast.
I called Florida.
You didn't call Harvard.
I called LaSalle University.
Oh, please!
Of course, early
you didn't.
So
Pat.
I have a perfect bracket going
all right,
into
listen,
the Sweet 16.
Right. We're not doing sports talk right now.
I was the guy who came up with the name Sweet 16.
No, you weren't.
Okay. I remember back when I was at CBS Sports. I said, "Boy, these 16 teams, they're pretty sweet." And it stuck. That's all
okay.
I got to say.
Listen, Pat, stop talking.
Hey, listen, I will meet you at the corner of Sepulveda.
I don't want to fight with you. I just want to try to give away some Coachella
tickets.
Come on
down. There's a hospital there. I won't take you, but that's where
three-day passes to Coachella sold out for weekend number one. Thank you, Pat. We are taking your trivia questions now on any of the bands that are playing Coachella. And it could be Blur or Stone Roses, Modest Mouse, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Phoenix, the Postal Service, Chili Peppers, whoever it is. If you've got a question, 1-800-520-1067. Let's see if you can stump Pat.
We're going to stump Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's a giant, pump his ass.
That's right.
And he knows about Coachella.
He do
everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And can you stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
He's the biggest douche of all.
That's right.
And can you stump Pat O'Brien?
Nope.
The biggest douche of all.
When I came up with the idea for the Coachella Valley
you didn't
Arts
come
and
up
Music
with that.
Festival.
That was not you.
They were going to hold it at a Marie Callender's out in Pacoima.
Okay.
And I said, you know, we probably need more room than that. How about Coachella Valley?
Hey, Pat, can we take some
and
calls?
And they said, good idea, Pat.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Adriana. She's on line three to get us going. So, Pat, she's going to ask a question. If you don't know the answer, she goes into the drawing to win Coachella tickets. All right, you ready?
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello.
All right.
Stump Pat.
Adriana, what's your question?
Can you name the lead singer of the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs?
The lead singer of the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs.
Now, you should know this one, Pat. She's pretty famous now.
Now, you know the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs. Of course, named after the famous refrain by the Beatles song, I Love You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. And I was talking to Paul McCartney, Paul McCartney this week about music.
Uh-huh.
And Paul said to me, you know, Pat, we've been good friends now for, I don't know, 30 years.
Did the lead singer of the Yeahs come up?
And he said to me, you know, the lead singer of that band, the Yeahs,
yes,
is none other than Sheena Easton.
I don't think that's right. Adriana,
I beg to differ. I think Paul McCartney would know.
Is it Sheena Easton? Adriana.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to come down to Sepulveda Ventura and
try to
kick
play
your
along.
Ass, Adriana.
What's the correct answer?
Karen O.
All right. Karen O. You've heard of her?
Tarantello.
No.
Well, that's an Italian dance, I think.
Hold on.
Adriana, you are in the drawing. Thank you for playing. All right. Let's try.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
Let's try Freddie. Let's go to Freddie here on line two, trying to stump Pat O'Brien from
Freddie.
Sports Radio.
Good morning, you guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Hey,
morning,
Freddie. What's your question?
Stump Pat.
Who are all the members of the Wu-Tang Clan?
Wu-Tang Clan.
How much time do you have?
You know, it's funny. I remember when I gave Ghostface Killah his name.
You didn't give Ghostface Killah his name.
Originally, his name was going to be Powdered Sugar Face Shortbread.
Okay. I doubt that, Pat.
It was. And
I don't think that's true.
Listen, you don't strike me as a shortbread. You're more dangerous than that. How about Ghostface Killah?
Wow, that that's
was
good.
You, huh?
How about any of the other members?
Because he had powdered sugar all over his face, it kind of looked ghostly to me.
Right.
And
okay.
The name stuck.
Name the Wu-Tang Clan. That's what the caller's asking.
All the members?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, gosh, I've done scissor with most of them. So see if I can remember my days. You know, of course, I'm clean and sober now.
Right, now.
It's
right,
not funny. I almost died.
We didn't bring
it's
it up.
It's not funny.
We didn't bring it up.
I will meet you at the corner of Sepulveda Ventura.
We don't want to fight with you, Pat.
Ask Hartman. He knows.
Yeah, Hartman's not here.
Hartman
I don't even know
knows.
Who that is.
Can you name five of the
either.
Wu-Tang?
I do a show with the guy. I have no idea who he is.
Just name some of them.
All right. We have Tito, Michael,
that's
Jermaine,
no.
Freddie, Jesse, Jerome.
We don't have time for
Morris,
the answer, Freddie, but that's not it.
Prince.
I think
right,
Prince is
Apollonia.
One of them.
Freddie, you are in the
Vanity
drawing.
Six.
Thank you for calling. Okay.
Wait a minute.
Let's try.
Even source me on that one.
You're wrong.
How about going through the nits?
No.
Maybe
let's go with
the easiest
right, possible question on the line. All right, Pat. Thank you. Let's go with the easiest question on the line, Pat. Line six. You claim you know rock music. You claim you know sports.
Well, I have been in professional broadcasting for sports and
I know
entertainment for, I don't know, 40, 50 years.
Right. Well, Matt's question
60,
has everything.
Years I've been doing it.
Matt, you're on with Pat
80,
O'Brien.
90
Good luck.
Years I've been doing it.
Hey, Pat.
I've been a broadcaster for 100 years.
You haven't been.
I remember I told Thomas Edison.
Would you mind letting Matt ask a question?
All right.
Matt, go ahead.
Go ahead, Matt.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea. I'm a big fan of an NBA team. Which team is it?
Oh, that's Flea and I have been close friends for many years
that's
now.
That's too easy.
We go to a lot of basketball games together. And
What games?
It'd be ridiculous if I didn't know the answer to this one.
All right.
Which team? Which team does Flea like?
He's a huge Bobcats fan.
He's not actually.
He loves the Bobcats.
Matt, is the Bobcats correct?
No, it would be the hometown Lakers.
It would be the Lakers, yeah. He writes a blog about it, the whole thing. You're a sports broadcaster.
I know that. I've been in sports for many years.
How do you not know that?
You know, it's funny.
Thank you, Matt.
When I first came up with the idea of the Elite Eight, I remember right. saying
that was
to
yours
the guys
also?
There at CBS. I said, you know, listen, I gave you Sweet 16. That worked out pretty well. Let's go with the Elite Eight.
All right, Pat.
And,
all
of
right,
course,
let's try,
the rest is history.
Did you also come up with Final Four, Pat? No, that wasn't me.
It was my good friend, Hartman. Hartman here came up with Final
There's
Four.
There's no one with you, Pat.
Ask Hartman. He knows. He'll tell you.
Let's try Rodney on line 8 if we have time to squeeze in one more here. We're asking Coachella band trivia with our friend Pat O'Brien to try to win tickets for weekend number 1 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rodney, go ahead.
All right, Pat. This one's for you.
All right, Rodney.
What country is Phoenix from?
What country is Phoenix from?
Correct. The band Phoenix.
Well, that's...
Headlining Saturday night.
That's... pretty obvious right there. Phoenix is, of course, from Arizona, which is in the United States of America.
Is that the best goddamn country in the world, by the way. What country the city of Phoenix was in. Now we're talking about the band Phoenix. Do you want to rethink your answer?
Okay, go ahead.
Roger, is it Arizona or the United States?
All right, man. It's not in the United States.
It's not. It's France.
Oh,
it's...
Phoenix isn't in the United States. That's what you're telling
me. The band
me.
Phoenix okay. is from
no.
France.
No, all right. He seems to be put together well, this guy. You know, Rodney, I'll meet you in the corner of Ventura.
He doesn't want to fight.
We're not going to fight. Nobody wants to
fight where the better country is? France
right.
or America? I'll take
That's
you
not
any
the issue.
Day of
the issue
week,
is just where
I'll
they were
you
from.
Out. I've
That's
laid
all.
Guys out around here. Ask Hartman. Okay. He knows how it is.
Lisa, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. The winner is
Rodney, Matt, Freddie, and Adriana. Who's our winner?
The winner is Adriana.
Yay!
All right. Congratulations, Adriana. You're going.
Adriana,
if you'd like to do a three-way
with me and my girlfriend.
Nope. That was the old days, Pat.
Just say... Yeah.
That was the old days.
Come out of the bathroom and just give me a nod.
That was the old days.
And then take one of those
baby
carrots over there on the buffet table.
Nope.
Stick one
of your nods. Pat O'Brien. Yeah. He's a giant pump his ass. That's right.
Kevin Williamson, creator of the following on the program later on today. Also, we've got a doctor in here, a real-life medical doctor who says, hey, go to rehab, but drink while you're there. That's his plan.
Yes, that's my kind of doctor.
That's what I'm talking about.
Finally, medical science has come to where you've been for years, Ralph.
That's right.
And we'll talk to actor Seamus Dever from the TV show Castle right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Well, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, which are in the other room. So
all right.
We'll look at those later. Maybe someone in the other room will bring those in for me. More importantly, Justin Bieber is still in danger.
Uh-oh.
Dana Martin, the guy who hatched the plot and went as far as to hire two guys outside of his prison cell to try to capture Justin Bieber and castrate him and murder Bieber and his manager, says it's not over yet. Although that plan was foiled, he's still planning on trying to go forward with the operation. It makes me think if you're a good criminal, you probably don't say that. It lessens your chances of success,
I would think so.
Unless you're the Riddler or something and you want to tip off Gotham City Police by giving them a clue and see if they can stop you.
This is the follower.
That could happen.
This is the guy behind bars that's just controlling
that's
everything
right.
outside.
The reason he wants Bieber dead, by the way, he's a huge Bieber fan. He's got a Justin Bieber tattoo on his leg.
Oh, that means he's the bottom.
Which must make him very popular in prison. He said he's changed, and that made me angry. He's a phony now, he said of Bieber's hip-hop slang. The way he's going around being all swag, yo.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that. He liked clean-cut Beatles haircut Bieber, I guess. Early Bieber was his
I have
Bieber.
To agree with him, by the way.
I got to say I don't like either of them.
Bieber says he will call off the murder plot if Bieber will just sit down and have a conversation with him.
Oh, that'll happen.
Nude. With weapons. I've written to the district attorney saying I'll plead guilty. I'll even testify against my two partners. Talking about the previous murder attempt. I just want to have a sit down with Justin Bieber. And the district attorney won't do it. To them, that's just bizarre, that request.
This kind of sounds a little bit like those crazy people who keep on stalking because they're hoping for a day in court in the same room as the person they want to be with.
Yeah, yeah. I say, Bieber, sit down with the guy.
Come on, I agree.
What's the worst that can happen? Let's just put Bieber in a locked room with this guy for 2-3 weeks and just see how things
time.
Go. That's right.
Give him some time to work it out.
Let these two kids work out their problems.
Hate to see them argue.
Monday is the day we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one, The Croods.
The Croods.
America loves animated movies. That's what we found out, except for Bean. $45 million at the box office, number one this weekend. Second was Olympus Has Fallen.
I saw that.
We talked to Gerard Butler over the weekend.
How was it?
I saw it too.
I liked it.
I think it's real good.
I mean, there are some things where you go, oh, come on.
But it's kind of derivative. Yeah. You've seen a lot of moments in this that you've seen in other movies of its genre before. But overall, I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I did too.
$30.5 million made it number two. Oz, The Great and Powerful was third. The Call was fourth. Admission, the new comedy starring Tina Fey and Paul Rudd, came in fifth with $6.4 million. Spring Breakers made $5 million at the box office. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone was seventh. Jack the Giant Slayer 3D, Identity Thief, and Snitch rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, sorry, boys and girls. It's a dark, dark day indeed.
Why?
My Chemical Romance is no more.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Band posted on its website Friday that after 12 years, it's time to go their separate ways. The guys thanked all their fan for his support.
How dare you? They're very popular.
I know. I'm kidding. No word on what the future plans will be for the band, but...
I love that band.
Gerard Way may be interested in starting up a solo career, and I think he certainly could pretty
easily. How'd you do it this time, Kevin?
I had nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like when you left for vacation, they were fine.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like when you got back, they were done.
I was still on vacation on Friday, so that's when it happened.
That's what you spent your whole vacation doing. It took you a week, but you finally broke them up, and they announced it on Friday. Hmm. The last day of your evil plan.
Yep.
Will you put them back together, and they will just sit down with you? If Gerard Way will
that's
just sit down with you?
That's one of my top five favorite bands.
What are the other ones?
Rage, Muse, two more.
you did M&M? Already break up Rage, and you're working on Muse. By the way, you got to have a chat with your assistant, Linus, by the way. I don't know if you know the stuff that he says when you're gone,
I have
Kevin.
No idea because...
We talked to your assistant, Linus, last week.
He tells out
great
of school,
news.
The
I
stories. I would want to keep a tight lid on some of that stuff. Apparently, Kevin, when you go on vacation to a place like Mexico, you won't lie in the sand. You make him carve gold?
No, he gets a brick of gold and a cheese grater, and he has to make gold dust for you to lay on in the sand because you won't only lay
on gold dust.
You won't lay on regular sand.
That sand's a little dirty.
I think that is just
my defense.
Inappropriate for you to make the poor guy work so hard.
And don't I remember that Kevin's wife won't walk on sand either? She
won't walk on the ground in Mexico, so she steps on those kids who are selling chicken. They have to run in front of her and lay down in front of her so she can step on them. And she's got human shoes, basically, is what we're saying.
I want that vacation.
Yeah, you got that vacation. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer, pianist Elton John, 66 years old today. Marcia Cross of Desperate Housewives is 51. Sarah Jessica Parker is 48 years old. Doug Stanhope, friend of the show, very funny comedian, dark, dark man.
Yep.
46 years old. Lark Voorhees, she was Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell, 39 years old. Vladimir Klitschko, Dr. Iron Fist, he's 37 years old. He's still the champ, by the way.
Is he?
I don't think they even bother scheduling fights anymore for the heavyweight division. They just, we'll get around to it eventually. When he dies, we'll give someone else the belt. Danica Patrick is 31 years old. Catherine McPhee, my friend from American Idol and Smash, is 29 years old. And Ally McCulka of Ally and AJ. And, of course, Hellcats. Let's not forget Hellcats.
Oh, yeah.
24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the program here on a Monday. The Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is on the way. Also, Kevin Williamson, the creator of The Following, coming up too. And keep listening for your chance to win tickets for weekend number one of Coachella. Ralph Garman, I know how much you love The Castle. You always have. Since minute one.
One of my favorite shows on television, by far.
Want to talk to a guy who may even be more Irish than you are? Seamus Patrick Dever joins us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He plays, of course, Detective Kevin Ryan on Castle Monday nights at 10. That's tonight, don't you know, on ABC. Hey, Seamus, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Very good, thank you.
This is perfect now. I've got the match set. This is the fourth of the big four on Castle I've had a chance to talk to, so it's a pleasure to talk to you, Seamus.
It's nice. I hear I'm the last one. My wife listens to your show like almost every morning, and she's like, John was just on the show today. You guys got to get on the show. I'm
like, we had Huertas, we've had Stana on, we've had Nathan on, and now you're the last of the big four from Castle.
I like that your wife mocks you, though. That's good.
Yeah. Well, you know, she supports me in a mocking fashion.
She should have come on first before you is what should have happened.
Right, exactly.
Seamus, it looks, you know, I love the show, and your characters, both you and John, who play Ryan and Esposito, you guys started off as supporting characters, but now I think of the show as sort of like a four-hander. You guys are right there along with Nathan and Stana in terms of carrying the show. And a lot of times you guys have sort of the comic relief aspect of it. Your Laurel and Hardy-type relationship is very funny, but tonight's episode looks downright grim for Ryan.
Yeah, well, frankly, we like to think of ourselves as Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Our audience has no idea who that is. I'm sorry, Seamus. I had to go with something dumber.
Let's go with Laurel and Hardy. You're right.
There you go.
Yeah, tonight's episode is a big one for Kevin Ryan. I'm going to get this surprise a lot of people with how much of a badass Kevin Ryan can be. But he gets to go undercover back with the Staten Island mob, and we get to sort of see his past come slap him in the face, literally in the precinct. So you'll get to see that.
One of the great things of the show, I think, is the tone from week to week. You never know what kind of show you're probably going to do, right? Sometimes it's very light and fun, and then oftentimes it's very sort of serious and there's a lot of procedural police stuff in it.
Yeah, we have a lot of flexibility. You know, it's a very interesting show because, yeah, it does change week to week. Some weeks it's scary or our attempt at being scary. Some weeks it's very romantic. Sometimes it's very dark, and a lot of times it's very funny. I like the funny ones because when you're laughing for 12 to 14 hours a day at work, it makes things go a little bit faster, as you guys probably know.
So you didn't enjoy doing this episode?
Oh, no, I did. You know, there's a certain sort of sickness that actors like when things get dark and, like, when you're having guns pointed in your face all the time, you're like, yeah, that's great. I don't know why, but it's one of those things that's immediately sort of has a visceral response in you. And so, yeah, those are a lot of fun, too. But it's nice to get back to the laughter.
And I got to tell you, Seamus, your character on the show is making life a living hell for me at home because nobody has ever been more in love with his wife than Kevin Ryan is on Castle. And it's my wife keeps watching the show with me saying, why can't you be more like him? Why can't you be more like Ryan? Look how much he loves his wife. He'll do anything for her.
Well, Ryan takes a lot of crap a lot of times because, you know, they like to say, well, he's whipped and all these things, but I think he's just a good husband. You know, and my wife, my real-life wife, who listens to your show, plays my my on-screen wife.
Right.
So my wife, Juliana, plays Jenny on the show. So it's one
Isn't
of those
that sort of a rip-off? I mean, aren't you supposed to be able to make out with an actress
That's
and say
right.
it's work?
Yeah, where's the acting in that, guys?
Come
right.
on!
Right, I know. No, it's one of the things that's very fortunate. Sometimes you got to look for those gifts for yourself as an actor and use it when you can, right?
Are you as good a husband to Juliana as Kevin is to Jenny, though?
I'd like to handle this one if I could. No, he's not.
No, he's not. No one could possibly be. I like to think I am.
Yeah, well, you're not.
I'm very caring. But, you know, I don't know. I'd have to get an outside consultant as a judge.
There are too many characters on TV that treat their wives so well that we do get ugly stares from our women.
You can't compete.
There's nothing you can do. Unfortunately.
I'm sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, start getting a little worse. Will you do us a favor?
Okay.
Kevin, you should just be... I'm talking to Kevin Ryder now, the radio DJ. You should just be grateful that he's a guy on
That's
television
true.
Named Kevin who's not mentally deficient like most Kevins
That's
on
true.
Most shows are.
That's true.
So
I was
going to give Kevin that name. What is that? Why?
Look, I don't know, but every single guy that's on The Office, Kevin's a doofus.
Yeah, every Kevin character.
Kevin Community. On Community. I mean, yep. the last Kevin I can remember being a stud was a little kid from Home Alone. That's it. You got to go back like 30 years. And you.
Now
so.
You got Kevin Ryan.
All right.
How long, let me ask you this again, this is the voice of Seamus Dever here on the Kevin Beach Show talking about his very special episode of Castle tonight at 10 on ABC. How long is this ride-along going to go where they're going to allow Nathan Fillion's character to just be a cop when he's not? Wasn't he supposed to be on for research for like 2 weeks originally? And years later, he's still in every case.
Yeah, I know. We admit that. You know, the series creator, Andrew Marlowe, was, you know, he's talking. He's like, we can no longer make that excuse. He's hanging out. He's not doing research. He's doing it because he likes Beckett.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that we haven't brought up in a while. And thanks for, you know, sort of like bringing out that weakness.
Burst in the bubble, right.
We forgot about it, haven't we?
Just send him to the police academy and let him be a cop at this point.
That would be a very boring
boring series because it's not we're going to show us up at the precinct with no castle there, and we're just solving crimes, and or him at the police academy, which would be very funny, much like the police academy movies. So,
I think they're doing well without your help, B.
Yeah, I think so.
They got it working out. Listen, if you like had the chance, if you showed up to a police precinct and you had the chance to hang out with Stonic Haddock every day, I think you'd keep showing up as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, she's unbelievable.
You guys have a thing for her there, I hear. Yeah.
We all do, yes.
Well, I don't know if it's thing as much as it is a mad, passionate love affair in my head with her.
Obsession, right?
Yeah, obsession.
Yeah, obsession's a good word.
That's a good way to characterize it, yeah.
We always get questions on, like, Twitter. Like, how can you even stand working around Stana? Oh, my God, how do you get anything done? And it's like, yeah, right. We just sort of stare at her all day long. We're like, oh, what's my line? I'm sorry, I forgot. So beautiful.
Says the guy with his wife on set.
Yeah.
Right. Well, no one blames you there. The episode is called The Wild Rover. It airs tonight. It sounds like an awesome episode if you're a fan of Detective Kevin Ryan. Glad we finally had you on. Now that we've had the big four on, Ralph, who's next? We have to go with Seamus's wife, make it the big five, right?
That's right. We'll have to bring her on.
Hey, Ralph, I watched Joe Schmo, and it was awesome. And John Huertas and I both want to be on the next one, so we got to figure that out.
Fair enough, Seamus. We'll work that out. Thanks so much.
That host was a dick, though, right?
How dare you, sir?
Thank you, Shane.
All this week at 7:20 a.m., 11:20 a.m., 4:20 p.m., 7:20 p.m., and 9:20 p.m., we are giving away passes for 3 days at Coachella weekend number one. In fact, we just did the very first one of those, and Al Ackie from Riverside won the tickets. Your chance to win with Cat Corbett at 11:20 this morning, and details at krock.com.
Okay, hold on. I'm writing these down. What were those times again?
Okay. 7:20, 11:20, 4:20, 7:20, 9:20.
Right. What was after 11:20?
Okay. Never mind.
Well, how am I going to win?
Speaking of Ralph, Kevin, you were out on Friday when we had an interesting conversation that showed you how wrong Ralph can be and how much good sense I make sometimes.
I doubt it.
Ralph was talking about how he had done an event the night before that he and his friend Adam West were both at.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we all love Adam West, but Ralph has been a lifelong TV's Batman fan since he was a little tiny kid. So Ralph has a very special affection for Mr. West.
And I've got a huge Batman collection of 1960s Batman memorabilia.
You have a whole room, right?
Yeah, an entire room in my house dedicated just to that, yeah.
Probably one of the biggest collections in America, I would say, right, Ralph?
It would probably be up there, yeah.
So Ralph is talking about how now, thanks to this new licensing deal, there's going to be a ton more memorabilia coming out because they're starting to finally officially license again the 60s Batman TV series.
You're going to need a bigger house.
Yeah, so they're coming out with toys. They're coming out with T-shirts. They're coming out with,
greeting
cards, everything.
Calendars, yeah.
So we're talking about how Ralph's going to have to move out or get a separate house just for his memorabilia. So I says to him, God forbid anything ever happens to Adam West because he's a young, vital man and I want him to live forever. But if he did, how awesome would it be to stuff him and have him in your museum? I mean, that's got to be the best, biggest, one-of-a-kind piece of memorabilia in Batman history if you could actually have Batman in your house.
But you know it isn't. He's not alive.
So that's my point exactly.
So
I'm not saying keep him, Batman. I'm not saying keep him prisoner. I'm not saying tie him up and torture him. I'm saying once Adam West is dead.
You want to stuff him like an animal?
I'm not trying to be creepy here. I'm not saying
there's nothing creepy about this.
You don't keep him a prisoner while he's alive, but you stuff him as a corpse and you put him in your house when he's dead.
This is what Bean has gotten to because there's no difference between human beings and stuffed human beings to him.
No.
What's wrong with you?
It's all just meat. It's all just
meat. No. My point is, he's dead. What makes Adam West? Because, Ralph, your defense was, look, I love him too much as a friend, and his friendship is too important to me.
He's also
a
friend of mine. I wouldn't write it.
Exactly.
You don't stuff your friends was what my bottom line was.
I think that's a good rule of thumb.
I think so.
I want to think of myself as stuffed after I died for anyone to do whatever.
Nobody would do that.
Your family. Would you want your body to be preserved and then, like, lounging on the couch or something, just hanging around the house?
I would stuff
Lisa, don't get me wrong.
But that's while she's alive. No, but what I'm saying is, what makes Adam West special and what makes him a friend of yours is that he's alive and it's the things that he has to say and do and
when he dies, that goes away.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. When he dies, that goes away. So the body is not the important part of this. The body is worthless to him. It's worthless to anybody. They just throw it away, basically.
Do you think his family once stuffed Adam West in
I'm saying what a tremendous tribute to Mr. West.
That's not
that
a tribute.
In some way lives forever in a Batman TV museum.
If you've gone crazy or something, I mean, if you've gone crazy, I'm just saying. That's something I need to know about, okay? I mean, that affects me.
That's true.
It's a great idea, first of all.
It's a horrible idea. Because
it's a great idea.
It's creepy beyond words.
It really is. If you're doing something with a dead body.
You're not doing something with a dead body except putting it on display respectfully as part of a museum collection on TV's Batman.
All right, Norman Bates. Let me tell you something, Kevin. What you missed in the conversation last week was Bean saying, I would totally stuff Weird Al.
Yep.
When he's alive.
Put him on my couch. No. A dead Weird Al. I would totally have him taxidermied and put him in my house.
Bean has said Weird Al is one of his three favorite humans of all time.
Okay. You don't treat your favorite humans like that,
in my
opinion.
I don't think so either, because they cease to be a human and therefore useless.
They become furniture.
Once they cease to be a human, that's when it doesn't matter what you do to the body, because the body doesn't mean anything. Guys, the body is just the vessel. It's just like saving the box after you take the TV out of it.
First of all, as a collector, I got to say mint in box is important for everything. So if you have the box without the toy in it, it really does not help.
Can you get a box that big for Ralph's real body?
Ralph tried to claim at the end of the show on Friday that no one agrees with me, and I challenged him on that. I think that there are lots of people listening who, if they had the opportunity to stuff their favorite celebrity and have them in their home, would do it.
I think you're probably right with a few people who are as twisted and broken as you are.
I don't think a lot of people would be comfortable with a corpse of anybody.
No,
any corpse
creepy.
Would be comfortable with that as just part of the decor of their home. I don't think a human corpse is something most people would like to have leaning up against their wall next to the ottoman.
1-800-520-1067. What celebrity would you stuff? Honestly, now, not as a joke, what celebrity do you love
you
so much
do
that
this
you would be
honestly.
Happy to have them in your home? Absolutely, I
don't
would.
Buy it.
Look, I'm completely, again, once the person is dead,
I really believe that
the body doesn't mean anything. This is why I've often said when people talk about their funeral arrangements is, I have zero concern about what happens to my body when I'm gone, because it doesn't matter.
Some
the body
people
doesn't
care about
matter.
Their loved ones, though, Bean, and what they think and what they feel and how they live with it. And you putting Weird Al
that,
on your chair... Is not
I'm not
necessarily...
saying that Adam West's family couldn't come visit Adam West in the Batman Museum at Ralph's house.
Oh,
they could.
Well,
I'm not
right.
saying cut
as
them off forever.
As long as they can visit, then it's okay.
They have to clear
for
it
a
with
small,
Ralph, because I'm sure
a small
they would really
fee.
Enjoy showing up to some stranger's house and seeing their beloved father, husband, whatever, sitting at a desk.
And then have Ralph rush him out because he's got to go
right,
someplace.
They push a button. There's a tape-recorded voice that comes out and a light show going around the display.
What the hell?
Now, the only question I have for you, Ralph, is do you keep him in street clothes or do you put him in an actual Batman outfit when you stuff him in your house?
No, I'm thinking, I don't have his corpse in my house. That's what I do.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. For reals now. There's
no,
a celebrity.
No,
that
for
you
reals.
Love.
Nobody
do
beats
you,
it for real.
Do you
for
stuff
you.
Him or her and put him or her in your house? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
What you're about to hear is disturbing. It is a man who is deeply, deeply insane and needs professional help.
I'm the only one who's making a good choice here. Look, why throw away the best part of the celebrity when they die?
The that's best what part I'm of saying. The celebrity is their personality, Bean.
Exactly. And there's nothing anyone can do about that once they're gone. That's out of the picture. That's not available.
But that's the only choice that's left.
The only choice that's left is what do you do with what's left? Do you throw it away, burn it, or put
yes.
it in the ground? Or do
yes.
you stuff it and
no.
put it in a museum so everybody can enjoy it?
No.
What is wrong with
you? And
you
want it on your couch, not in a museum.
Wait, what are they going to enjoy, though, Bean? How do they enjoy Weird Al? Let's say that you get Weird Al on your couch, which is just
I'm
going to
have Weird Al on my couch. Right. Weird Al is going to be watching TV with me every single night. It's going to be the best. And what's your question?
How are you going to enjoy that? What part of that is enjoyable? He's
the
gone.
The fact that I'm sitting there with Weird Al.
You're not
that's
sitting there with Weird Al! You're sitting right. there with a dead body.
Ralph,
the only
refuses
reason I could see this working is if I had Bean stuffed, and then I could do unspeakably embarrassing things with his corpse, like make his head like a tissue dispenser or something. Just doing like unbelievably inappropriate, like embarrassing things to his body would be hilarious.
That would be funny.
Make his
if
butt like a bicycle
us.
Rack.
Ralph is not there. Really. A fan of TV's Batman because he would not stuff Adam West and put him in a museum in
right,
his home.
Because I don't want to own his corpse. That makes me not a fan.
Yes, it does.
The room that he has jammed with memorabilia doesn't make him a fan?
No, but I'm saying what I'm saying is he has the ultimate, the opportunity for the ultimate piece of memorabilia,
see,
which
me,
is Adam West himself.
It
isn't.
It isn't.
What's
it's
better
not,
than that?
It's not.
He's Batman.
It isn't Adam West himself. It's not Adam West at all. It's his dead corpse.
It certainly is. All right, so I'm taking, I asked to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. What celebrity for reals would you stuff and keep in your house after they're gone? And let's go with Jason. He was our first caller through. He's on line two, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jason.
Hola.
Help.
Hola.
Help. Help. Help.
Would you like to take a gander at some dead Adam West stuffed penis?
All right, what's happening?
Now? Thank you for the call.
Oh, my God.
What's happening now?
That was his Adam West.
That was his Adam West
Family Guy. Yeah.
Let's go to Justin on line six, like joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. It did.
I'd like to take a look at Adam West's stuffed penis, Jenny.
Justin, hi.
How you doing?
Good. I just want to say, before you mention what you're going to mention, you're on Bean's side here.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Remote control, Jessica Biel. All working holes.
Okay, hold on a second here. Now, this is not where I wanted to go at all.
This is your
person,
Bean.
No, that's you and your buddy.
Justin is on your side, Bean.
No, he's not on my side because I'm not talking about that sort of thing. I'm talking about a respectful, come on.
A respectful.
A respectful ownership of a dead body. What's wrong with you people? Why can't you get this through your heads?
There's no such thing as a respectful.
Don't sully the idea of keeping a corpse in your house by making it creepy.
But Bean, if you said it's not the person, it's just the body, doesn't matter what you do with it, that's your logic.
That's right.
Then what difference does, it make what you do with it?
I don't. I'm not interested in even thinking about what he's going to do with Jessica Biel's corpse.
But it doesn't
corpse.
Matter
that's
because
wrong,
it's
wrong, wrong, wrong.
Oh, that's
I
wrong.
I own a corpse, but I will not have sex with one.
Is it Jibbo? Jibbo? What the hell is the name on line one?
I don't know, but it's your people.
Your people.
Hey, Jibbo, Jibbo. What's your name?
Hello.
What's your name?
Hello. Are you Jibbo or Jibbo?
Jibbo.
Jibbo.
Jibbo. All right, you're the lost Marx brother.
Yeah,
all right, what?
I had a good idea. I wouldn't mind, you know, the young Pamela Anderson Lee.
Okay, again, you guys are missing the point here. This is not what I'm talking about.
Because you want her corpse, he wants to go back in time.
You can't go back in time and get a younger version of her. This doesn't work.
It's like Looper, but you travel through time and you kill people and stuff them. It's a new movie.
Look, I know that everybody is on my side, but these calls are not represented. Let's go to Jamie. She is on line two, and I think she's going to be with me here. Jamie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, I would stuff Dave Grohl. It's only creepy if you're stuffing a woman, okay?
Okay.
So I would get a wheelchair and I would take him with me everywhere. Imagine the concert seats that I would get with a handicapped dead Dave Grohl.
Yeah. But I don't know if they have a dead section in most concerts. That's the only thing.
Handicapped section?
Yeah, I don't think handicap is different from dead, I would say. They don't have a corpse section. Oh, corpse.
Thank you for the call, Jamie.
Right this way. Oh, I didn't see you had a corpse. Please. Here, let's go to our front row corpse section.
Hey, Jamie, I would like to argue also with your fact that it's only creepy if it's a woman. That's just not true. It's creepy no matter what.
Let's go to Mike on line eight.
How do you feel your support's coming, Bean?
I'm not pleased with these calls at all. It says line nine, but I think it's really line eight for Mike. Can he be our final call here?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, man, I'm on Kevin and Ralph's side. That's creepy. You need professional help.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, but if it had to be anybody, it would be Brie Olson.
The porn star?
There you go. There you go.
Again, great. The necrophilia accent has been heard from today.
It's even
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Hey!
Hey!
You're alone. I'm sorry.
What happened to good old hey?
Yeah, I blew it.
All right.
My bad. It's the world famous K-Rock at 5 minutes till 8.
Kevin Williamson, who is the creator of The Following on Fox, which airs Monday nights, which, Kevin, I know you love.
So good.
Also created Dawson's Creek. He wrote the Scream movies, Vampire Diaries. I mean, the guy is immensely talented. We're very excited to have him on the program. He may be my new favorite person in the world.
Does that mean you want his dead body on your couch?
Yes, it does. Listen to his bio slugline on Kevin Williamson's Twitter page. Obsessed with serial killers, pancakes, and Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Wow, he's twisted.
Are we brothers or what?
I don't know. Let's ask him. I don't think he wants to be your brother.
Brothers in
harm.
Anyway,
we'll talk to him about The Following coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman joins us. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Real quickly, one more mention about the subject matter we were talking about just moments ago about stuffing dead celebrities and having them as fixtures in your home.
Great idea, Ralph.
Bean's creepy idea. This email came from listener Dana Anthony. Subject line was stuffed celebrities. The body of the email read thusly. Danny DeVito, enough said. never has more needed to be said than just Danny DeVito.
Enough said.
Well, it's self-explanatory. Danny DeVito, that's everyone's choice, right? Slam dunk. What? No, I don't understand what that means. Enough said. I need some more explanation.
He backed away from the keyboard and went, nailed it.
Boom.
I'm out.
Threw his arms up like he just nailed a three-pointer.
Peace out, everybody.
Danny DeVito, enough said. Boom.
Obviously.
Well, midget. I mean,
what that? I don't. How does that enough said? Even. I need more said.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Croods, the animated prehistoric kids movie, kicked some butt at the box office this weekend, taking first place, $44.7 million. Let's round it up. $45 million at number one. Something else. Olympus Has Fallen, the new action film starring Gerard Butler, who we talked to last week about this film. $30.5 million in its debut weekend. Is that taking of the White House like 20 of the most intense movie minutes you've seen in a long time, Kevin?
Yes, it was great.
It's remarkably well done.
It was well done.
Oz the Great and Powerful, third at the box office.
You know what he didn't? Take over the White House. Didn't happen.
Oz?
Yeah.
Oz didn't take it over. Uh-huh. You're right. The Call? You know what Tally Berry didn't do as a 911 operator?
She could have if she wanted.
She didn't put down her headset and go take over the White House. She didn't do that. She just went out and fought crime instead. It looks good to me. Admission, the new comedy with Tina Fey and Paul Rudd, came in fifth with $6.4 million. Then Spring Breakers, the new creepy movie that Bean wants to see about teenage girls doing unspeakable things. Sixth at the box office with $5 million. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone was seventh. Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D came in at number 8 with $3 million. Then Identity Thief and Snitch rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. A little piece of advice for movie makers, since we're talking about Olympus Has Fallen. If you're going to introduce characters in the very beginning of your film, and then there's five characters in the room, and four of the characters, we've never seen those actors before, and then the fifth one is Dylan McDermott, don't act like you're trying to surprise us with something later on in the film when he comes back. I'm just saying.
Because you know it's going to be
We're
that guy.
We're not idiots.
The only guy that we know.
Oh, how weird. They cast Dylan McDermott for one line in the beginning of the movie in a 30-second scene, and he disappears. Well, I guess he must have a mortgage payment he needs. That's odd for him to take that role. Yeah, you're not going to surprise us, really, when you bring him back later in the film.
There are a couple of those problems.
Just saying.
But overall, it was pretty entertaining.
Casting can solve some of those problems.
It was loud.
It
that.
Was a loud movie. Kevin likes a loud movie.
I like that.
Speaking of
Ralph
loud,
Herman.
Yes.
This just in from Kevin and Mean listener Kevin Davis. Stuffing celebrities. Brad Williams. Enough said.
Enough said.
There you go.
Maybe
there we get another one.
Thing. Maybe it is a midget. Queens of the Stone Age album has a title and a release date.
I'm so excited about this.
New Queens. Like Clockwork, it has been entitled. It's due out in June, and you can hear bits of it right now at Quotsa.com, Quotsa.com. Special guests on the album. Reads like a who-who, or a who's who, if you will. Dave Grohl, Trent Reznor, Elton John, Scissor Sisters frontman Jake Shears, and the original Queens bass player Nick Oliveri, all showing up on the album. Should be remarkable.
Been a long time since their last record.
You want to hear a piece of the song with Elton John?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Balls, 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 balls.
I don't, but I.
I've got the clip of them with Reznor if you want to hear some of that.
Oh, now that I'd like to hear, really. I'm going to start stop believing you guys when you say you have clips.
Don't stop believing.
Wait. What was that?
I've been ignoring it.
What was that? I keep getting disappointed. You guys say you have something, and it turns out not to be the thing.
What was the guy underwater?
That was the GM Zeefo show, by the way. That was one of his big hit songs.
Oh, Kevin, you missed us talking to GM Zeefo show last week.
Wow,
the artist formerly known as Gillian Air.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a new name now.
Yeah. All right. GM Zeefo show.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. That was him.
Kevin, you're going to hate this.
All right.
But more Beatles memorabilia up for auction.
Oh, finally. Something about the Beatles.
This is gonna.
Can
be
I
a big
own
one.
George Harrison?
You can't.
Can I stuff him and have him in my museum?
No, you can't.
You don't have a museum, by the way.
I would start one though if I had George Harrison. That would be enough to get it going.
Would that be the cornerstone of your collection?
Yes.
Well, maybe you should bid on this. A copy of the Sgt. Pepper album, signed by all four Beatles. Maybe
wow,
the nice only item. The only one in existence, as far as anyone knows. Wow. They say it could set a new record for Beatles memorabilia. The bidding will start at $15,000.
That'll go for millions, right?
Well,
I imagine
the gavel hasn't even hit yet. Doesn't even hit the block till March 30th. That's when the actual auction will start. But early internet bids already up to over $110,000 for the album. So who knows by the time March 30th rolls around what it ended up going for. But there's a lot of money in Beatles stuff. See, that's what I would do if I had a time machine. I'd go back in time, and I'd get a ton of Beatles stuff signed by all of those guys, and I'd bring it back now into the future, and then I'd just sell
a lot of work.
Oh, still.
Let's go back and win the lottery.
Come on.
If you just want money.
Work. Just one trip to the 60s, that's all? Buy up a bunch of stuff? Stop by the Beatles' house, knock on the door.
Do they all live in the house?
Hello, are the Beatles there? I'd like them to sign some stuff for me, please. Erin Andrews has a new boyfriend. Sexy reporter, formerly of ESPN. Where's she now? Fox Sports?
I believe so, yeah.
Jarrett Stoll from your Los Angeles Kings.
He's fantastic.
They are together, and they are very happy. He says things are great. You know who introduced them? Michael Strahan.
Oh.
Sports legend turned TV host introduced him, and he said they get along great. The only problem is she doesn't know that much about hockey. He doesn't know that much about every other sport that she covers. So that's a bit of a sticking point, but they're doing well. Anne Hathaway is thinking about leaving Hollywood. Star Magazine reports that she is having an unbelievably difficult time because she says people hate.
Yeah, I can see that.
People hate in Hollywood. She doesn't even get that much hate.
She does, it seems like.
She got a lot of hate leading up to the Oscars, though, with all her little speeches and awards. And people were very cruel to her.
But she should look around and compare the hate she gets to someone like Taylor Swift or Justin Bieber or, you know, people who are legitimately hated. She's got a lot of praise on her side, too. I mean, she won a freaking Oscar, for God's sakes. What more,
right.
What more acceptance does she need from the Hollywood community? They gave you a gold statue. Anyway, she said she may quit the business. Get out. I don't buy it.
No.
She's too pathetic. I hate her. I'm kidding! And why does Kevin hate actress Tilda Swinton?
Ugly.
First of all, not.
Not ugly at all.
But it may be the fact that she's a little bit of an odd duck. She's got a new performance art piece she's doing at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. It's called The Maybe. She sometimes sleeps inside a glass box at the museum.
What does that mean, sometimes?
Well,
at night?
There's no schedule. There's no schedule when she will appear in the box. So maybe you will see her if you go there to the museum. Or maybe you won't see her in the display called The Maybe. See what she's done there? See what she did?
That's not art.
What if you could stuff her corpse, though,
and
have it in a glass box in your museum?
I don't have to listen to you. You're a dog.
No.
You have to listen to me. I'm a dog.
It wasn't meant for you. It was meant for her, but it's an old one. I didn't remember what it was.
Well, learn what you're going to play before you put it on the air.
My God, she's unappealing.
See, now that's appropriate.
That makes sense.
Stop telling me I'm a dog so you don't have to listen to me. Kevin, I'm talking to you.
I'm not listening.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Elton John, 66 years old. Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives is 51. Sarah Jessica Parker's 48. Comedian Doug Stanhope turns 46. Lark Voorhees of Saved by the Bell fame turns 39. Heavyweight champ Vladimir Klitschko is 37 years old. Lee Pace from Pushing Daisies is 34. Danica Patrick, the race car driver, turns 31. And Catherine McPhee from American Idol and Smash, he's 29 years old today. Will someone help that poor guy at the counter? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Since the following debuted a few weeks ago on Fox Monday nights at 9, we have been excited to catch up with our old friend Kevin Williamson. He's the creator of the show, Don't You Know? And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Kevin, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Going great. Did you survive? I understand you had a belated birthday weekend in Las Vegas this weekend. How'd you do?
Oh.
I'm still in Vegas, man.
Are you? Did you? Yeah, sorry about that. Did you take advantage of being in Las Vegas to bet lots of money on the NCAA tournament?
You know, I did not, but I saw a lot of people. Man, it's March Madness right now. It's crazy here.
Yeah, they put TVs everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are. You can watch the tournament. How long has it been since the following's been on?
Well, the following, this is episode 10 tonight.
Okay, now, let me just, I need to find out if I'm caught up. When I last watched, he had gotten out, Joe Carroll had gotten out of prison. And went to that.
Behind.
I'm behind. Oh no!
Wait, what's your last one?
He went to the house, and all the kids came out, and all that, and his son was there.
Yep, that's episode 7.
Oh, I'm three behind. Kevin. How am I ever going to catch up?
Well, okay, it's easy. We have this little thing called a recap.
I love that show so much.
Yeah, you clearly love it so much you won't even watch them, Kevin.
I'm behind.
Yeah. No, but it's easy. Joe Carroll's now at his little mansion where there's a cult of killers waiting for him. They have a son, and tonight he's figured out where his wife is. And now he's going to try to make a play and get his wife and then reunite his entire family.
For people who don't watch the show, try and sum up Joe Carroll if you can.
Joe Carroll is a psychotic, psychopathic serial killer who has escaped from prison, and while he was in prison, he sort of had internet access through a bad series of events, and has created sort of a following of like-minded killers, and they're all sort of, out there in the world, sort of operating at and do his bidding for him.
And the weird fun of this show is that it could be anyone. You don't know who is in the following and who isn't, so week to week, you're surprised that this guy's there. Oh, there's no way to get out. Oh, that guy's one of them. It's really it's a thrill ride.
It's a fun show. It's a twisty little show about twists and surprises and the plot turns, and it's meant to sort of be a page turner. You know, the whole idea is Joe Carroll is a sort of a failed writer, and this is his attempt at trying to write something a little more meaningful and a little more fun. He's learned something from his last outing. He's trying to make it a clever little twisty page turner.
And it also has to be, this is the voice of Kevin Williamson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his show, The Following, which airs again tonight on Fox at 9. You know, there were some people who said at the beginning, wow, I don't know how this is going to play on network TV because it's pretty dark. It's been a huge hit for Fox, but you really have to give them a lot of credit for how far they've let you go with some of the stuff you show on network TV, right? I think this is a little bit unprecedented, some of this stuff.
Yeah, they've been, Fox has been great about allowing us to sort of go there, and they've sort of encouraged it. There's only been a few instances where they've kind of said, hey, too far, let's, could we just turn the camera away right at that moment or something? But, they've been great at allowing us to sort of go there with the darkness.
Now, the show, of course, is about a serial killer and the people who follow him. Have you heard of, crazy slash killer people who are following the show? In real life?
No, not yet. I really hope not.
That's the follow-up. That's your next show.
Yeah, they're right. That would be it. No, this is sort of, it's based on the idea of sort of the Charles Manson and, Koresh and Jim Jones and all those sort of those charismatic cult leaders who have, sort of brainwashed these following. And that's sort of what we're doing here. Same thing.
Kevin, you're writing about this serial killer on your show, and you mention on your Twitter bio that you're a little bit obsessed with serial killers, so I know that you've done a lot of research on the topic. What unifies them, if there is one thing that is common among all serial killers, and why they turn out the way they do?
Well, the thing about this particular following is they're not all serial killers. They're would-be serial killers, they're groupies, they're friends of, there's a whole sort of eclectic group of people that are in this cult. But I think the one thing that sort of unifies these people is he's just finding vulnerable minds that are empty and that just are missing something in their lives and they're alone and they want someone, that can sort of, it's kind of like that 12-step program where you can all sort of come together and sort of unite in your common suffering.
So they kind of feel like they're part of something because they fall under the spell of this charismatic person, and now it's a little bit of a relief to not have an aimless life. Now they've got somebody kind of telling them what to do, and it feels good.
Yeah, they're not outcasts. They're not, they sort of have a family now. Joe Carroll has sort of created a family for them and brought them all together in this house and around the world, and they can sort of, feel a part of, feel special.
Sure. All right, before we let you go and go back to sleep, because I'm sure you're looking at that pillow longingly right now in Las Vegas.
No, man, it's all about the slot machines.
Say a few words, Kevin, about Kevin Bacon, because obviously that's what got a lot of people's attention when the promos started running. They said, oh, my God, Kevin Bacon on a TV show? What? He is invaluable, and he is great on this show.
He's a great actor, Bean, and I really enjoy how he
No, Kevin Williamson. The question was for the other Kevin. The question was for Mr. Williamson.
Sorry.
Oh, I love Kevin Bacon. He's amazing. He's exactly everything you want in a TV show. You know, I knew this, you know, the role of Ryan Hardy, you know, here you've got this FBI agent who's getting sort of a second chance at life. You've got a serial killer getting a second shot at serial killing, and it's all about second chances. And I think Kevin Bacon is like the perfect, he's a leading man. He's a character actor. There's a reason he's been so successful and has huge careers. He has this ability to have chemistry with anyone. You know,
That's a great point.
And that's what I love about him is that everyone, you know, Joe Carroll and Ryan Hardy have a great chemistry. It's a great relationship between, you know, hero and villain. And then the romance between him and the wife works. Every guest star we bring on, he just has instant chemistry with them. And he just sort of elevates the show to such a great place. And, and he's an amazing guy to work with.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. It's tough to cut through these. He's drunk the Kevin Bacon juice. It's tough to cut through these days on television, man, but you have done it since episode one. Everybody is talking about the following. Monday nights at 9 on Fox, another brand new episode tonight. So glad we got a chance to catch up with you again, man. Thank you for the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Don't lose all your money.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show joins us in a couple of minutes to recap where we are so far in the tournament as the Sweet 16 begins this week. NCAA men's college basketball, of course. First, though, what do we have up for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
Oh, we got the Brazilian Wandering Spider, Holly the Cat that walked 200 miles to get home, the Brazilian Penis Snake, Willie the Foul-Mouthed Cockatoo, Monty the Cat fired from Broadway, the Giant Iranian Rats. It doesn't really matter because it's going to land on Monty. Let's do it.
You don't know that.
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, I wonder where it'll land.
So you spin the wheel, and there's no way to tell in advance what bit we're gonna be doing here. Who's it gonna be?
Oh, wow, what a surprise. It's Monty, the cat fired from Broadway.
No way. It's amazing.
What are the chances of that?
That is a shocker. Hey, listen, I've talked in the past of what a huge fan I am of RNG, the original cat from the Breakfast at Tiffany's movie. You remember I love RNG so much.
No, I don't remember that at all.
Remember I told you I was going to name my next pet RNG? No. It's the greatest pet name of all time.
Why would I remember that?
Well, we've talked about it on the show. Yeah. Well, the actor who is playing RNG on stage on the Breakfast at Tiffany's is a cat named Monty. And apparently, according to the New York Post, Kevin, he's been fired for being a bad actor.
Monty the cat?
Like, what? How? He's a cat. What can he be doing to screw up the scene? I don't know, but we asked producer Dave, could he please line somebody up for us? And I believe we have Monty the cat himself on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Monty.
Oh, you sound sad.
You sound totally sad.
Of course I'm sad. I got fired from Broadway.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be sad if you got fired from Broadway?
Yeah, but I don't understand what happened. I mean, your job really is just to hang out on set and just do cat things. They weren't asking you to sing and dance, right?
What happened is the producers of this show wouldn't know talent if it coughed up a hairball into their Cheerios.
Oh, wow. They said that you were out of control, basically.
That's producer speak for we didn't understand this artistic vision, that's all. I was too much cat for them and they couldn't take it. So naturally I get fired. Well, meanwhile, this pussy, Vito, he gets the job because he's, oh, yes, sir, no, sir, let me rub up against your leg, meow, meow, meow. He's such an Uncle Tom.
Well, I think that's what they need from a cat on Broadway.
No, a cat on Broadway has to have energy, has to bring the style and the panache of a Broadway star. Hit it, Steve. I'm dancing and I'm singing. I'm a cat on Broadway. I'm a singing and dancing cat. Oh, look at me, I'm furry. I'm working on my own one-man show.
How'd you get shoes to fit?
Well, I had them specially made. Okay. At PetSmart.
Now, look, I understand that you're very...
And I'm talking on the phone. Okay. I can do two things that once.
That's more very talented.
I should be a big, big star.
Now, Monty, look, I understand that you're very talented. You can do a lot of things. Maybe this role was beneath you, but isn't that the job of an actor is to do what's required? Not necessarily what you want to do, but what the role asks for.
You only get one bite at the mouth in this life, mister. And I was determined to become a huge star on Broadway.
Yeah, maybe you overdid it.
I don't think so. Wait till you see my new one-man show. I'm going to call it Cats. It's going to be a musical.
There's been...
I like to eat whisker lickin' out of a bowl. And I also like to chase the ball of yarn.
Have you talked to any producers about that particular one?
Not yet,
cat show?
But we're having a big backers audition this week. We're hoping maybe to do Kickstarter or something. I don't know, but I'll be on stage again.
Well, it sounds to me like...
This town will be my litter box.
You are too good for Breakfast at Tiffany's. They were lucky to have you when they did.
That's what I'm saying. I like to get a dead bird and bring it into the house and put it in the kitchen and make you scream.
Are you making those lyrics up?
Well, I'm still, it's a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe a little more work.
I like to lick myself.
Okay, good luck with that, Monty. We'll talk to you soon.
But my crotch.
Sweet 16 starts this Thursday. You know, a week ago we had 68 teams who were all vying for a national championship in men's college basketball. Now we're down to 16. And Matt Money Smith from the Petros Money nationally syndicated radio show joins us on the air right now. Hey, Matt, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. What's happening, guys?
Is there any truth to what I saw over the weekend that Floyd Mayweather put down $7 million on UCLA?
I can imagine. I can imagine it to be true. He is never one to shy from the sports books and massive. And so if he did, his advisors did not give him very good advice. Just about, I'd say, 9 out of every 10 guys I talked to involved with college basketball knew that they were going to lose to Minnesota.
Is it true that Howland got fired before the game?
Well, you know, it's funny. Marcus Johnson, who's one of the all-time greats at UCLA, joined and me on Friday, and he made the best point regarding Holland that I'd ever heard. He's like, you know, here's the problem with UCLA. You've got all these people that always quote John Wooden's pyramid, that talk about the standard that John Wooden set, that, you know, Wooden is the standard by which all coaches are measured. He's like, and what about their behavior, the way that they've treated Ben Howland, the guy that won the Pac-12 this year, that has been battled for the last 3 years just because they don't like the style of basketball he plays. And he just said it's not fair. You know, the guy basically was fired from the second this season started, and everyone knew he was going to go because they don't like watching defensive basketball, and Pauley Pavilion's not sold out. And so, yeah, essentially, he has been fired since before the game was even played.
And he really brought, I mean, he really brought basketball down. He kind of made the program credible again at UCLA, right? I mean, he's been a successful coach.
He goes to 3 straight Final Fours. But at the same time, you know, I guess I get it. It's a business, and it's a brand-new building. And, yeah, it's a very deliberate style of basketball that's not that fun to watch. And, you know, when you hear a name like Shaka Smart, for people who don't know, he's a head coach at VC with a tiny little college. But it's a real exciting brand of basketball. It's pressure defense. It's up tempo. And I can understand why something like that would appeal to a lot of folks.
Right. All right. Let's talk about some of the teams that are in the tournament. And you talk about small schools. Even hardcore basketball fans never heard of Florida Gulf Coast University, a school that has only been around, am I right about this, Money, since 1997.
How about that? Not even head coaches that lose to Florida Gulf Coast 10 minutes earlier know about Florida Gulf Coast. Steve Fisher called it Florida State. San Diego State Aztecs lost. He's like, you know, Florida State's a really good team. Yeah, but she actually just lost to Florida Gulf Coast.
How far can they? Are they for real?
It's a really, I mean, and obviously I knew nothing about them. All I knew about them is that they were kind of a punchline. They were, oh, how good could Miami be? They lost to some team called Florida Gulf Coast. You know, I mean, that was the conversation going into the tournament.
But they certainly got everyone's attention when they beat Georgetown, though, right? I mean, everybody was like, whoa, what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, they have athletes. They have, you know, I mean, they've got a coach. Their coach
Like, if you watch interviews with their coach, he's, I mean, and I guess perhaps it's just he's been around Rick Pitino and guys like that his whole career. He's a shooting, former shooting coach, but he's just very matter of fact. Hey, you know, we know that if we play the game that we're capable of playing, we're going to beat San Diego State and we'll be in the Sweet 16 and we will be the first 15 seed in the Sweet 16. We have no doubt about that. It's a very sort of deliberate, well, of course we won the game. We're really good kind of attitude that these Cinderellas need, and they certainly seem to have. And they got athletes, man. I mean, those dudes look like they're out athlete. How would you say it? I guess they're out.
Out athleting?
Yeah, I guess true, that works. They're out athleting some of the best programs in the nation.
And is it true? And it's so funny. This is what's beautiful about this time of year. Schools you've never heard of, all of a sudden you just are falling in love with, and they're so much fun to watch. But is it true that that coach that you're talking about for this team is the highest scoring free throw shooter in college basketball history?
Yeah, Andy Enfield. And of course, it's not about him. The story is about how hot his wife is.
His wife is the hottest person in the world. Yeah, it's insane.
Exactly.
She's like a Maxim cover girl or something.
Right, she's a swimsuit model, and like sadly, this guy, that's his story. Oh yeah, whatever with him. You see his wife, she's super hot. He gets zero attention whatsoever through this whole thing.
All right, well, listen, we talked a lot about Florida Gulf Coast University in the East. Let's talk about in the West. What about Ralph Garman's LaSalle, who are playing this Friday night against Wichita State? Who would have ever seen them as a 13 seed being this far into the tournament?
Yeah, I think, you know what, you talk to people about LaSalle, and they'll tell you they're a lot. And this is kind of the case with all these low seeds, with, you know, 12-seeded Oregon, with 13-seeded LaSalle. These teams are better than their seeds suggest they are. I mean, that's just the honest truth. I mean, LaSalle, they're good. They're angry. I guess the best way, and look, Ralph could probably tell you more about LaSalle than I can, because what the hell do I know about LaSalle coming in? All I know is watching them play those two games, they're great defensively. Kick fast on the boards, and if you don't have more than one shot, you know, per possession, you better make your shots. You're going to lose games, and that's kind of the big difference. And that, just speaking to another low seed, Wichita State, that's what they do. They play great D. They're one of the best rebounding in the nation. So if you have a cold shooting night, screwed. And that's basically what's happened to a lot of these higher seeds. They always have low shooting, you know, games throughout the tournament. And if they can't finish multiple shots, they're going to lose games, and that's why teams like Georgetown and North Carolina, you know, and some of the more standard, you know, UCLA, why they're out. They played teams that rebounded the heck out of the ball, and they lost.
All right, we're kind of out of time, but of the 16 remaining, you think it's a Kansas or a Louisville that's going to win?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's still, of the 16 teams, 11 of them are a 1, 2, 3, or 4. So, I mean, you're talking about 5 spots of the 16 that aren't chalk, you know, and we're the higher seed that advanced. I mean, look, they're still the best teams. Louisville still has the best players. So does Indiana. I mean, I have those two in the final in my bracket, and I think that's probably your best bet. But, you know, we've seen George Mason in the Final Four. We've seen VCU, you know, from a play-in game, you know, the first four, get to the Final Four. So certainly it's happened before. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened again. And, you know, I mean, they're good stuff. It's like the guy, you know, Coach Enfield said from Florida Gulf Coast, look, we're really good.
Yeah.
We've got really good players. If we play a great game, we're going to win.
And then he said, can you guys believe how hot my wife is? All right. Petros and Money airs weekday afternoons on AM 570 KLAC. Money, we always appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, absolutely.
Steve. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it is a Monday, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see over the weekend. The Croods was the number one show. $44.7 million made that animated family adventure number one at the box office. I guess spring break, kids are out of school, got to take them someplace, right? Take
sure.
them to see the Croods. Olympus Has Fallen, the new action film starring Gerard Butler and Aaron Eckhart. Number two at the box office, $30.5 million. Wouldn't you love to have Aaron Eckhart as the president?
I'd love to have him as the president, and also Morgan Freeman.
I'd like to vote for either of them. Yeah. Yes, I would like my government to be run by those two men. That would make me happy. Oz the Great and Powerful was third at the box office with $22 million. Then The Call and Admission rounding out the top five. Spring Breakers, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D, Identity Thief, and Snitch rounding out the top 10 at your weekend box office. Kim Kardashian, it has been announced, is renting out the entire floor
of her hospital for the expected birth of her baby in July.
It's going to be a big baby.
You got to get your reservations in there early if you want the entire floor, because they book up those hospitals.
Can you do
porn
that?
Star Kim Kardashian.
You can do anything you want with the right amount of cachet.
How do you do that
friend?
With a hotel, with a
hospital?
Hospital.
You say, we'll write
a
you a big
floor.
Fat check, and you just kick everyone else that's sick out of the hospital because my giant ass has to come in there and shoot a baby out of it.
Didn't we?
Babies come out the butt, right?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, I think that's sure. true. Yeah. Didn't we hear that about Beyonce? Didn't she have a whole floor too, yeah, Ralph, if
absolutely.
I recall correctly?
You know how the Kardashian girls value their privacy.
Yes, that's a good point.
They don't like any sort of media attention towards anything they do. That's why she had to make the move.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, the Kardashian sisters have found a brand new way to get your money. They are releasing their own line of sunless tanning systems.
Sunless tanning?
Yeah, spray tan.
Okay.
Fake bake, as we used to call it in the good old days. The Kardashian Sunkissed line will be sold exclusively at Ulta stores starting next month. I'm not familiar with the Ulta chain, but I don't like them.
Just based on this story?
Product line involves three-step process. First, you exfoliate. Then you put on the lotion. And then you start dating a black guy. That's the three-step process. Seems to work for them. This just keeps getting better. This sequel to Boy Meets World, the new series Girl Meets World, starring Ben Savage and Danielle Fishel, who apparently refuses to come on our show and talk
to us. Yeah, what's that about, by the way?
2 weeks in a row we've lost her. We've had her and we've lost her.
We thought we had her.
Looks like William Daniels will be coming back to the show as well, playing Mr. Feeny, the role he originated in Boy Meets World. It's exciting, right?
Is he super old now, Ralph?
He is. He's older than he was mm-hmm. before.
Thank you. Thanks for that update.
I don't know
as many of us are.
How many years the show's been off the air, but he's that many years older.
All right. As is all the other actors on the show, but you know what I'm saying.
He's older, but I don't
know. Okay.
Don't
all right. I'm glad he's still with us.
I don't think he has to be stuffed and put on your couch yet. I think he's still got some shows left in him.
Some time.
But I do have dibs when he does.
I'm sure you do. More.
Who's playing the robot, by the way? I haven't heard you talk
There's
about the robot
no
at all.
Robot in Boy Meets
really?
World.
Girl Meets World, I thought was the robot.
No, Small Wonder is what you're thinking of. Oh. Different show. Geek news. This is very exciting. You know, Captain America, the second Captain America movie, is in the wings. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, it's called. Actor in talks to play the head of S.H.I.E.L.D., Robert Redford.
Really?
How about that? That adds a certain amount of class to a comic book movie when you get a movie icon like Redford to step in.
Wow.
I like Samuel Jackson as the...
He was he'll still be Nick Fury, I'm sure.
Oh, he will.
One of the head agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but one of the sort of higher ups of the guys he reports to. One of the leaders of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be played by Robert Redford, if all goes well.
Hmm.
And the Osmonds are in the news, believe it or not.
You know, the Osmonds, the Donnie and Marie, those Osmonds?
That family, the Osmond
All
family,
right.
legendary
okay.
Singing, dancing Osmond family. A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll.
I love them.
A lot of homophobia.
I don't like them.
They are gathering tomorrow in their home state of Utah for a, quote, celebration of marriage, unquote. It is a rally against gay marriage in Salt Lake City.
Plus, the brother's going to marry his sister.
I don't believe that's the case at all. It is a rally to benefit the protection of marriage between a man and a woman.
When gays marry, it ruins marriage for the rest of us.
That's true. Alan Osmond and his wife will be leading the cause.
You know, the country's been waiting to see where the Osmonds,
where do the Osmonds go?
Come out on this topic.
Where are those people who can have 19 wives fall on this whole protection of marriage between a man and a woman thing? Donnie will not be at the rally. His personal website says that some of my best friends are gay, he said in a cliche. However, he does mention the Mormon Church can accept those with gay tendencies as long as they do not act on those temptations.
Oh, that's very nice of them.
Yes.
Very generous of them.
Very reasonable, too.
Yeah, they also said they like skinny people in bakeries, they also said. Marie Osmond certainly won't be attending. Her daughter Jessica is a lesbian. And Marie has always supported marriage equality, so she does not believe, as some of her other brothers
Wait,
do. That,
so the two highest profile members of the family won't be there.
The big Osmonds will not be there. Tito
But they
Osmond
have Jimmy on their
there.
Side, though, right?
So Tito will be there.
Tito is a Jackson.
And Your Majesty Osmond will also be at the
You're getting those thing. Confused.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Elton John. They will have Jimmy there, being said. Remember Jimmy Osmond?
Little Jimmy Osmond. Come on.
No.
I believe he, too, is much older than he used to be.
However many years since
however
we knew
many
him.
Years since we saw Jimmy last. Today's celebrity birthdays, Elton John, 66 years old. Today, Sarah Jessica Parker's 48. That's like 70 in horse years.
It is.
Horse is a horse, but no one can talk to a horse, that is, unless the horse, is Sarah Jessica Parker.
Good point. Marsha Cross from Desperate Housewives is 51. Doug Stanhope's 46 years old. Clark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell. Clark. Did I say Clark? Clark. Clark does good
work, right?
Clark Voorhees would whip off his glasses and open up his shirt in a phone booth and come out of Superman. Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell is 39. Vladimir Klitschko, 37 years old. Danica Patrick, race driver, 31 years old. Catherine McPhee from American Idol and Smash is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right. Finally, a rehab I can get behind. Who's with me?
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Our guest in studio is Dr. Adi Jaffe, PhD, don't you know? You went to UCLA, Doc. Is that right?
I did, right down the street.
Well, congratulations. What you're an addiction psychologist and researcher, so you're clearly already too smart for this room, but we appreciate you coming in. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What kind of response are you getting from rehab with alcohol? You can drink at your rehab.
I think you're getting great response. I know we're on board.
Yeah, absolutely. We're we're starting to sign people up. We're picking up money at the door. No, the response has really been dependent on who you talk to. You know, I mean, it's probably pretty obvious that there are people in the industry who think that what we're doing is risky and dangerous and things along those lines. Mm-hmm. But the research behind what we're doing has been around for 20, 30 years. So they're, you know, this is a lot more popular on the East Coast. Or when I say a lot more popular, by the way, I mean there are two other clinics that do this on the East Coast. So it's really picking up steam.
It's like a landslide.
Yeah. You can't stop it now.
Do you feel like you're fighting the battle sort of alone? Are most voices saying, hey, it's not rehab if you can drink?
You know, actually, interestingly, most of the people that we've talked to have said that there needs to be a place for something like this. And the main reason is most people who have problems with addiction don't want to go into treatment, right? Around 90% of people with addiction or substance abuse problem in this country do not even seek treatment.
Right.
And when I was doing the research at UCLA, one of the main reasons was, and this is not going to come as a surprise to you guys, is they like using and drinking and they don't want to stop, right?
Right.
That's not a big surprise. But in the industry, most of what we've done up to now is say, well, we can't help those people. Let's sit on the back and then we'll let them come to us when they're finally ready to take that final step.
When they hit bottom.
Yeah. And to me, that's almost unethical. I'll give you an example. I would have clients. I used to work in another outpatient clinic. I won't mention their name. But I would have clients come in who, let's say, were heroin users. And they would come in and they would want to get treated for heroin. But they say, I'm not going to stop smoking weed. And I would have to not let them into treatment or kick them out of treatment. And that
would be the case of most rehab facilities would say, no, we have a zero tolerance for any drugs policy.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that, to me, was irresponsible because, to my mind, obviously the heroin is the more serious drug of the two there.
Right.
And if I can get a client off of heroin and then worry, if I need to, about their marijuana use down the line, then by all means, I think they should be admitted.
All right, doctor, tell me about this research that you referenced that suggests some are saying that we've been looking at this problem wrong for the last 50 years with the way we've handled it in this country. What are you talking about?
Sure, absolutely. So the NIAAA had a large study that was conducted in the 90s. But essentially what it looked like is people who meet criteria for alcohol abuse or dependence at one point in their life, what happens to them, right? The vast majority don't go into treatment. It worked out that 75% actually end up resolving without going to any official treatment. And the vast majority of those people
meaning they figure out how to tame it?
Either how to tame it or how to stop on their own. But the vast majority of them don't abstain. They actually drink moderately. The problem is there's no structure to let that sort of be guided, and they end up having to figure out on their own.
So what you do is you help people that have a problem but aren't as serious as they want to quit forever. You try to teach them how to do it moderately?
Yeah. So people there's a self-help group called Moderation Management. So if you're not in Beverly Hills and you want to get some help online, Moderation Management is an online system that helps some people do this. But it's all self-guided, so you need to be very motivated to do it. But yeah, the idea is people lower on the spectrum of drinking problems, mm-hmm. or people will have a drug addiction problem and know that they need to quit those but are not ready to quit drinking, can come to us. First of all, just so you know, in case you're running to our clinic right now and hoping that we serve you beer on the spot. That's not how it works. People still start out abstaining. The first month of our treatment is abstinence, and then we bring the alcohol back in a very, very structured way.
Just before they've made it, you bring back in alcohol.
Yeah. So
they're so close to being cured, though, Kevin, before we start making them drink.
What we really like to do is have them get a job first and then get drunk so they lose it.
I see. Good. Good. That's a good plan.
No. So essentially what happens is, you know, they come in understanding that they don't have to quit for the rest of their life. That all they have to do is follow this system.
Is learn how to manage it in a safe way, right? Yeah. That's what you're trying
does
to do.
Does that work?
It does.
I want to ask, because alcoholism is a spectrum. So are you, in essence, redefining what alcoholics are? Because there are certainly people who they have one drink and that's it. They're drinking for the next five days on the floor. And there's other people who realize that they're using it to not deal with problems. So they have an issue, but technically they might not in some circles be considered an alcoholic.
Yeah. So first of all, I like hearing what you said about alcoholism being something that goes along a spectrum. And that's not necessarily the way everybody sees it, by the way, right? Some people see you're either an alcoholic or you're not.
Right.
We absolutely more so believe in the spectrum way of looking at alcoholism. And there is no doubt that there is a group of people for drugs and for alcohol who just can't use. When they use, things go wrong.
Do you turn those people away?
So most of them we try to screen out before they ever start our treatment, yes. Sometimes
you say your problem is too big for us to deal with.
Yeah, we do about a 3 or 4 hour assessment with our clients before they ever come in.
Give them a drink halfway through?
Absolutely. No, shots. It's all shots.
All right, let's do a shot and then tell me your problem.
There are really basic instruments actually that I brought on with me from research to look at. One of them called literally the alcohol dependence scale. And we try to see where in that spectrum they lie. If they're too high for what we are comfortable with, we just won't accept them into treatment. If they're anywhere
because you
below
don't think
line,
your program is appropriate for them because you don't think it will help them accomplish their goal, right?
Absolutely. But I'll tell you right up front, that's the minority of people who go to seek treatment. I'll give you a perfect example, right? We have a college student who got into drinking problems and smokes too much weed in college, right?
How did you find a student like that?
Yeah, right. This is a very uncommon thing in college circles. Well, when this first came to his parents' attention, the only solution that anybody could offer them is for him to go into a residential treatment where he has to admit that he's an alcoholic and a drug addict and for the rest of his life not consume. I'm here to tell you that based on research evidence, there is a 90% probability that he is not a lifelong alcoholic and a drug addict. You know why? Because 50 to 60% of white male college kids drink heavily. So
maybe even too much.
Yeah.
Right? Seriously. Yes.
Or they binge drink.
In college.
Binge drinking is
huge. I mean, that's just what happens. And 90% of those students don't end up having lifelong problems. It's college. I wrote an article in Psychology Today a while ago saying, you know, there's two types of alcoholism, college and the chronic one. And the thing is, but those college students who get into trouble still get offered the exact same solution as everybody else. Well, what about the fact that we know that the odds are that they're not alcoholic? Why am I going to make them go into a treatment center that before they get to do anything, they have to stand up and admit that they're alcoholics? If not, what do we say about them if they don't admit?
They haven't hit bottom yet.
They're in denial, right?
They're in denial.
They're absolutely in denial, which is the river in Egypt.
All right, we have to take a break. Hold it right there, Doctor. Dr. Adi Jaffe is our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about addiction alternatives, and that happens to be the website, addictionalternatives.com or allaboutaddiction.com. You have a facility that is in Beverly Hills, right? So this is available and local for people who are interested. Kevin, do you think we have time to squeeze in a couple of phone calls for the doctor? Because I know there are a lot of people who have given this subject a lot of thought and may have either questions or comments for the doctor. 1-800-520-1067, the toll-free number. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know. I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Speaking of the crazies, you can go to rehab and drink.
Our guest in studio is Dr. Adi Jaffe. He is a PhD here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm glad we're having you in today, Doctor, because this is our first step towards setting up something in the octagon with you versus Dr. Drew. You guys are going to fight it out.
I love it.
And then whoever wins, that's the way we'll do rehab from now on. For those just joining us, addictionalternatives.com or allaboutaddiction.com. We're talking about Dr. Jaffe's plan and his place in Beverly Hills where you can moderately drink in rehab because that's a realistic way for most people to live and control an alcohol problem, right? Is that fair to say?
Well, I wouldn't.
Most people can drink moderately and not have a problem. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, I think that's a definite truth, right? I mean, 80 to 90% of the population has had a drink in their life. 60% of Americans drink on a yearly basis, and the vast majority of those people don't have a problem. So for the general population, that's definitely true. I think the question then that people normally have, and I see some questions that are about to come up about that, is whether people who have ever had problems with drinking can. And again, I would point out, everybody listening to the show right now knows somebody in college who drank like they were crazy and is now completely fine and drinks like a normal human being if they haven't decided to stop by themselves.
They learn to control it.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a controversy in that interview that Bruce Willis did with GQ magazine a couple of months ago where he said, yeah, I was I was completely sober for years and years and years, and now I'm not. Now I'm a moderate drinker. I have wine with dinner, so what, basically. And a lot of people really called him out on that as saying that was a bad thing, but he says that works for him.
Absolutely. And a little self-disclosure, it works for me. So, you know, it's...
Did you have a problem at any point?
Yeah, not with alcohol. I like the hard stuff.
Ah.
But yeah, absolutely. And I was completely sober for 3 years and decided to take the plunge. And that was 8 years ago. And I'm happy to report that everything is still working.
So you just
well.
Use the hard stuff every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Look. All right. Let's squeeze in a couple calls for our guest, Dr. Jaffe, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Sarah. Sarah's on line two. And I think she's got a question for you, Doc. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? Hello, Sarah.
Sarah?
She's face down somewhere.
Hello.
There she is. What's going on?
Hi. Sorry about that, guys. How are you this morning?
We are good. Thank you.
Okay. So I come from a family of alcoholics. I definitely enjoy the taste of beer and the taste of wine. I drink probably about six nights a week. Because of the taste, though, and I'm worried at times because I do drink a lot, maybe at least two beers a night, that it might, I'm worried that maybe I might have, not that I have a problem, but that maybe it is.
No, that's what you're asking. She's asking if she has a problem if she's drinking 6 days a week, doctor.
Okay, well, I'll tell you that in terms of World Health Organization, you are a little bit above the limit of moderate drinking. And when I say a little bit, the average recommended for a woman is no more than one drink on average per day or seven drinks a week. But let me ask you a question right off the bat. Have there been any consequences related to your drinking other than the fact that you're worried about it?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, to be honest with you, I do not like the feeling of being drunk. If, you know, in my past we were ever out and about and I was intoxicated, I almost had like an anxiety attack and had to go home.
You're not a very good drinker.
No, I'm not.
Kevin would not take you out for drinks.
who drinks that doesn't want to be drunk? That doesn't make sense.
I know it's weird.
Should she worry about her family history?
Well, actually, it's a really great point. When you first started talking, Sarah, I would say, you know, somebody with a pretty deep history of alcoholism in their family should be watchful. But it sounds to me like you're already watchful and like you're paying attention to your drinking. You like the taste of alcohol. And it seems like what I would try to do is see what would it feel like to cut back a little bit and see if that becomes a problem for you. Because my sense is drinking 6 days a week, two drinks a day, there's some tolerance that's developed. And my sense
is... I can polish off a bottle of wine and be fine.
Yeah.
And you chug it, don't you, Sarah?
I'm sorry?
You shoot it, don't you, the bottle of wine?
All right, Sarah, thank you very much for the call. We got to move on, but we appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Greg. He's on line seven. Greg, you're on with Dr. Adi Jaffe on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
How are you? Just curious about how the process works with someone who is into hardcore drugs, like heroin of some sort, because your process for alcohol is go abstinent for 30 days and then slowly bring it back in. Guessing that doesn't really work.
Yeah, tell us about moderation for hard drug users, Doc.
Well, so we have a full menu of drugs now. That's a great question, Greg. You know what? There have to be limits somewhere, right? And we do not support moderation in our program for any drugs other than alcohol. So the only thing that we manage moderately is alcohol. So we would have, and we have had, clients, for instance, who want to come in because they want to quit cocaine or they want to quit heroin, but don't foresee themselves and never having had problems with alcohol before, and so they want to be able to still see if they can drink moderately. But no, we don't help heroin addicts figure out how to pinch.
Thank you, Greg. But let me ask you a question, a follow-up on that, is that aren't you more ready.
Likely to use.
If you're drunk.
Yeah.
Thank you for finishing my question.
No problem.
Does Kevin need rehab based on what you've seen in person today, doctor?
You know, this is really too early in the process for me to ascertain that. Some people do report that. We were talking during the break, and some people experience what we talk about as loss of control or pretty severe disinhibition. But again, that's not everybody. And so it becomes a question. What we do at Alternatives is really the main point is we let the client come in, and unless they're really high up on that scale of dependence where we don't feel comfortable doing the work with them, we work as hard as we possibly can with them to allow them to continue what would be closer to the average American lifestyle, even though they've had problems in the past.
How long have you done this?
I've been doing it in this specific clinic with my partner for only 2 months. My partner, Dr. Mark Kern, has been doing this for 30 years.
What's the success rate of people that get out of your treatment and go back into society versus have to end up going to real
About 50.
Rehab?
So thanks for that, Kevin.
I mean regular rehab.
Here at the peanut gallery rehab. So about 50% of people end up being able to moderate. The beautiful thing about it is that out of the other 50%, the vast majority are now more willing to accept abstinence as a goal. And so like I talked to you guys about in the first piece of the segment, we were talking about the fact that 90% of people are not willing to go into treatment or don't seek treatment. We find that the people who we show, and we have a lot of monitoring. So our clients carry on breathalyzers. This doesn't sound like fun, I know, but they carry on breathalyzer where they have to take blood alcohol measurements 5 times a day while they're in treatment with us. So we know when they drink.
Okay.
And we can show them data. So if they've been doing this with us for a month or two, 3 months, and we can see that they're not doing a good job of moderating, we can show them the data and we say, look, every time we bring drinking back in, you start escalating, things get out of control. We need to stop this and you need to go to abstinence. And because they have the data, they've done the experiment, they've actually worked with us, more than the usual percentage in the population are willing to say, you know what, you're right, I just need to quit. And that's the beautiful part of our program is that we let people come in at the level where they're comfortable doing what they want. And then if that doesn't work, we get to transfer them to real rehab, as you put it.
That's interesting.
Does insurance cover any of what you do?
Insurance covers substance abuse or mental health services. And so I'm not a clinician, but Dr. Kern, who's our licensed clinical director and a psychologist, and then we have a couple of MFTs that work with us. So we bill their hours, but actually we don't do any of the billing. Clients come in and then they get their
they do it
reimbursement.
Themselves.
Well, that'd be the type of thing somebody would investigate if they thought that you might be an appropriate place for them to go. So, unfortunately, we're out of time, but addictionalternatives.com or allaboutaddiction.com, both good places to find out more about your facility, doctor?
Absolutely.
Okay, Dr. Adi Jaffe, PhD, thank you for joining us. This was fun. Let's go have a drink.
All right.
So, Ralph, you were down with the doctor that was just here, right? Pretty good plan there, drinking in rehab, right?
Down with him?
Yeah, I'm saying you on the same page. You agreed with him.
What are you, OPP?
Sounds like your kind of thing, is what I'm saying. Okay. 943, Rob's your type of the show business.
Why do I have to go to rehab to drink? That's what I understand what the point is. You're saying I have a problem and I need to go to a rehab and this would be the good choice for me?
No, I'm just saying that I just expected that you would endorse his plan as sounding like a lot of fun. That's all. I mean, because rehab sucks. Rehab traditionally in the past has sucked. Now, finally, they're getting on board with rehabs that sound like they might be tolerable. That's
Seriously,
all.
Though, I think his logic was sound.
I do, too.
In that not everyone needs the same treatment. I mean, you wouldn't treat a cancer patient the same way across the board, regardless of whatever stage cancer they were having, right?
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting stuff. I'm glad we had him in. All right, time for the showbiz beat now here on a Monday. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz, I did want to mention one thing. LaSalle Explorers!
Yay! Never heard of them.
Oh, well, maybe you should look at who's in the Sweet 16, bitch!
Ralph graduated from LaSalle.
I am an explorer.
You're not.
Or as Dave calls it, LaSalle.
What do you mean I'm not an explorer?
You're just not. You're not an explorer.
That's what we are. Those of us who went to LaSalle are explorers.
All right.
Well, then all right, then. Yeah, I was being called last week, LaSalle.
Did he call it LaSalle?
Yeah.
I did call it LaSalle.
How about your LaSalle players? They're doing well, LaSalle. And then Dave's like, oh, LaSalle. I say, what the hell, people? It's not that complicated.
Dave came in and yelled at me, you say it. I said, Sal, like Cousin Sal.
LaSalle.
He's like, yeah. Sal.
Oh, LaSalle, LaSalle.
When does LaSalle
I got Thurston
play?
Howell III up there on the island, and then I got
Dave the King of Mexico can't pronounce vowels.
When do they play? Thursday?
They play Thursday night at the Staples Center here in Los Angeles.
Who do they play?
They play...
You don't know.
Wyoming?
Wichita State.
Wichita.
We talked about this earlier. They play the Mighty Shockers.
Shockers.
Shockers against
the
Explorers.
You can't beat the Shockers. Hey, boo! What do they do? Come up to you and you got the ball behind... Hey! They just try to rattle you by surprising you. Ah, I was shocked.
I haven't seen the Shockers, but I'm guessing that's what they do.
I have seen the Shockers, and they dismantled Gonzaga, so I can tell you they're pretty good.
This is the Shocker right here.
Stop
doing that with your hand.
The Shocker.
Stop doing that with your hand.
Just Lisa, that turn away. Turn away, Lisa.
These three fingers are also known as the Shocker.
Correct.
I'm going to be doing this all night at the game, waving this in the faces of their
Please don't do that.
Opponents. All right. How about some tickets to a movie that looks diabolical? I mean, talk about frightening. Talk about paralyzingly frightening. Have you seen the trailer for The Evil Dead?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of have.
It looks awesome.
It's terrifying. And that's just the trailer. The movie will kill you. I'm going to say that now. I'm going to put it out there. If you go to this movie, you will die. That's how terrifying it looks.
But what a way to go.
If you'd like to die... Then call right now, 1-800-520-1067, because we're having an advance K-Rock screening of The Evil Dead, April the 2nd, at the Arclight in Hollywood. Great place to see a movie, by the way. Just ask Kevin. He's Kevining. It's in theaters everywhere April the 5th, but you'll get to see it before everybody else. Jane Levy is the star of the film, Shiloh Fernandez, Jessica Lucas, great cast. It is from the producers of the original classic, Evil Dead. Sam Raimi is involved with this one.
Now, Ralph, let me ask this first up, because we're going to be talking about The Evil Dead a lot this week. Is this a remake of the original Evil Dead, or is this a continuation of the Evil Dead series?
This is a reboot, a remake of the original Evil Dead storyline.
Nice.
Same storyline as the first Evil Dead. This was even the first Evil Dead was kind of scary. It got more sort of arch and humorous later on as the franchise expanded with Bruce Campbell, but the first Evil Dead was pretty terrifying, and this one looks like they have just stepped up their game considerably. So if you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call.
Oh, I cannot see that kind of movie.
Oh, do you want to go see The Evil Died? LaSalle? When is LaSalle playing again? God, people. Speaking of movies, it's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Croods came in at number one, $44.7 million. Made that prehistoric family number one. Olympus Has Fallen was second in its debut weekend, $30.5 million. Oz the Great and Powerful still doing well, $22 million. Made it number three. The Call and Admission were the top five. Spring Breakers, the incredible Burt Wonderstone, Jack the Giant Slayer in 3D at number 8, Identity Thief and Snitch rounding out the rest of the top 10 this weekend. Channing Tatum says he's done being marketable meat.
No.
What?
Yes, Lisa. He doesn't want to be looked at as a sex symbol by you and your kind any longer.
So he won't be in the Magic Mike sequel? Is that what he means?
You and your ilk. He said he's done with hunky roles. Doesn't want to end up as an aging heartthrob. He's 32 years old, and he feels like he has to reinvent himself if he wants a longer career as an actor in show business, which may be a good theory for him. He may want to start expanding his repertoire.
I get tired of being looked at like this.
I know, Kevin. It's been hard for you being a sex symbol for all these years.
That's right.
Being a radio sex symbol. Well, it's your use of the English language, Kevin. I think it really attracts
it's
women. It's that silver tongue you have. I'll take the top road.
Bean, I had some good moments with the week you were
gone. We filled Bean in. We gave him a second. Can we play a little moment with Kevin?
Nope.
We have time for a moment with Kevin?
Nope.
Give me slap a little Kevin love on me.
Didn't we create one by request from the kids that hadn't even been a moment with when Kevin was still here, right?
What?
Yeah, top road.
Yeah.
Oh, was it top road?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, but I don't know that he's been able to do it.
He can't do it because
that
it doesn't
a
exist.
Moment with Kevin.
Some people
he
call
can't
it,
do it because it's not a thing.
Some people refer to it differently, but my
people
peeps
speak English
know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he tried to take top road, but sometimes he ends up bottom road. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I'm popular with the drinkers.
Elton John is 66 years old today. Marcia Cross celebrates her 51st birthday. Sarah Jessica Parker turns 48.
Do I really have a face like a horse?
Well, Sarah, hate to break it to you on your birthday. Doug Stanhope's 46. Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell celebrates her 39th birthday. Vladimir Klitschko, I must crush you, 37 years old today. Lee Pace, very talented actor from Pushing Daisies. He was the lead on that show, 34 years old. Danica Patrick is 31. Catherine McPhee, American Idol and Smash star, is 29 years old. And Ally McCulka of Ally and AJ and later Hellcats, she is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, the one of the stars of G.I. Joe, Adrian Palicki, will be on the program.
G.I. Joe!
Is that the theme?
The real American hero!
Nick from The New Girl, Jake Johnson, will be in our studios.
Oh, so good.
And his job is going into work every day and making out with Zooey Deschanel all day, right? That's what he's doing these days.
He can't really enjoy it because he has to stop, and then they have to talk a lot and be angry at each other, and then they have to kiss again. It's very frustrating.
And we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella as well, tomorrow morning on an All-New.